You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WUBE Cincinnati.
B105.
From the front yard to the backyard, it's time for In and Around the House on B105.
Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony Works. And looks like this Saturday is going to be a little bit of a washout, maybe. We have some rain in the forecast. And I guess the good thing is it's not snow. More precipitation. And from what I understand from a good friend, Ron Rothaus, that we're above average by about 20 inches of rain this year already, which is amazing. I find that hard to believe, but we've had quite a bit of moisture. And like I said, the good thing it's not snow. So
my sump pump is telling me that we've had a lot of rain this year. Wow, is it running nonstop?
That it is. And good morning, Bob. Bob
morning,
Bard from Bard's Nursery again is joining me this morning as a co-host. And
feels nice outside.
It does.
49. I didn't have to start my truck and let it run for a little while.
I'll take it.
You know what they say in Cincinnati? If you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes.
Or what Al Sleet would always say, if you don't like the weather, move.
Yeah, well, around here you don't have to.
And the other part of that is,
our November was winter.
I know. So give me a little bit of insight here. So you said when you were kind of, I know you study the almanac pretty
often. I don't know if I'm studying, but I've been following it. I want to see how close they get. I think that's interesting.
So what's on store, what's in store for us?
They say January, I think, is normal temperatures with slightly above normal precipitation. But December was supposed to be slightly below normal precipitation and slightly above temperatures. We didn't start that way, but we're there this week.
I think the precipitation part of that's probably right on.
Yeah, I mean, well, December 1st, if you remember, though, that was it rained and rained and rained. It's still raining on December 1st.
Yes.
You know, that's how bad it is. I mean, it just poured. But, you know, the ground was starting to dry out, but at least, you know, we could get on it, we could work. You know, we weren't tearing up too much of the yards. The equipment was. If you still had some wet areas, things were wet. But like if you were on top of a hill and it was kind of sloped, you could get on there with foot traffic and not really tear up much.
It was tolerant.
Until probably last night going into today. Cause I mean, it says there's 100% chance of rain at 11 o'clock. So you know, we'll see. Who knows?
Mm-hmm,
you know, the weather around here changes.
I'm glad it's not snow.
Me too.
But
I hope I never put a plow or a salt box on a truck, and we've already done it.
Well, you probably have a load of salt you're sitting on, so you might want to get rid of some.
I'd rather not do it. I don't like it.
That's a huge investment to have.
I know. And to all those guys that go out and work for the municipalities and the county and the city that are out plowing all night long, you know.
Those are long hours.
You got to love them.
You do.
I appreciate it. I'm going to say it right now. I'm already thanking them for what's going to come. But without those guys, man, this place would be dead. But there's nothing about getting up early and going out and plowing that I enjoy.
That's kind of peaceful sometimes.
You know, when you first do it the first year, it's great.
Right.
Second year, you're like, it's okay. And then you do it about the third year, and you're doing the same thing. And it's like,
you start grumbling.
The only thing that's fun is trying to figure out how much faster you can get it done.
Do you start grumbling and mumbling and all that good stuff? It's like,
You just don't sleep. You just don't know when you need to get up. You don't know if you're getting up at 2 in the morning or is the storm going to hit a little later. And then you got to make sure you're getting your customers taken care of before, you know, we do a lot of commercial stuff. Most of our snowplow is commercial. So you got to have it done by a certain time so they can open their stores.
Or what about the phone calls? Do you get a lot of phone calls? Hey, you going to see me today? You coming by?
No, because we're not taking on anymore. We're done. So everybody knows who's coming.
Got it. So aside from the snow and all that stuff. That
no snow.
Not,
don't say the S
you're
word.
You're not wanting any part of. I have to go back to last week per our conversation on the show. Did you get some things done with your lawn?
I got a few things done. I still haven't got everything.
Okay.
I got a little bit of trimming done.
Did you mow?
I'm not going to have to mow.
Okay, so you're not going to have to mow.
No.
Did you fertilize?
I did not.
Bob. That's it. Do as I say, not as I do.
I you know what? The bag is in the truck. You know? I'm not going out there with, you know, a flashlight and fertilizing my lawn. You know? But I'm like you. What time are you getting home during the week?
It's dark.
Yeah. So it's not easy. So it has to be Sunday. And when I'm looking, Sunday's going to be nice. I'm good.
Okay. You know, it's still, yeah, it's still workable. Things are, you know, we can still do some things. I know it's kind of tough to get out there and think about even doing anything of the sort. But with the weather playing in our favor temperature-wise, I'll take it.
Yeah, so, and the rain wasn't, like, heavy last night. I mean, things are wet, but it wasn't just heavy. So, you know, and for, like, landscaping, if for some reason that, you know, the storm doesn't twist up from the south and kind of get some moisture on us like they're showing or saying.
It seemed to me when I watched the radar yesterday, a lot of it was north of us.
Yeah, we missed some of it. And then
northwest.
You know, in Cincinnati, you'll do that. You know, how many times have we seen it's pouring down rain in Indiana and here comes this giant storm.
Right.
And all of a sudden it splits Cincinnati, you know, gets east of here and then kind of comes back together. But that happens all the time.
Yeah, and I don't understand the whole valley element of that. You know, I always say the Ohio Valley and how that always just the weather pattern kind of works its way up through there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we'll ask Ron Rothaus is going to call us sometime this morning.
Is he?
Oh, he's one of those weather gurus.
Is he a weather nerd?
Oh,
I'm a weather nerd too.
He's
I like
a
it.
Weather guru nerd, geek, all that good stuff. It's D, all the above.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was kind of chatting with him a little bit last night. And, you know, I noticed he posted something on Facebook about the rain and so forth. And, you know, his data is very, very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah.
And he had mentioned that we were about 20 inches above normal. And I just thought, I knew we were above normal, but I didn't realize it was that much.
You know, all summer long, we didn't get showers. We didn't get showers. If you remember, when it came down, it was coming down in buckets.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just nonstop coming down. And, you know, it's good for plants. You know, grass is green, you know, grass stay green all year round, but
I know one thing, we have ample moisture out there going into the winter months. Yeah. So that's really good for the evergreens and some of the conifers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there
all that stuff you planted. I mean, all the stuff we're digging, we were working all week and looks like we're going to work next week. Soil's pretty good to work for the plants. There's moisture in the ground. You know, you're going to plant some trees. There's still time.
You guys been pretty busy. And so this is really good for you because it allows you to get a lot more done and get to some of those clients that have already scheduled some installation dates with you.
It's been a little bit more work. You know, and I think on our Facebook page, we showed some pictures. But, you know, we're laying a lot of plywood down. So when we're wheeling over top people's lawns, we're not tearing up their lawn. Didn't have to do that.
You know, that's a good
something
thing.
We did just to protect their lawn.
I think that's being courteous.
Yeah,
little,
I mean,
a little courtesy element on your behalf.
Anytime we can protect their lawn, we're sure trying. You know, it was a couple weeks ago we were doing it every job because it was so wet. But, you know, this week we still did it. You know, they stay on the trailer. I got to be honest with you. My guys do not like it because it's not easy. You got to pick up these sheets of plywood that are wet, full of mud because you clean them off, but they still get some of the mud. You know, so, you know, but we have to protect the lawns as much as possible. It's funny you were asking me about my lawn. I noticed the other day when I was working on it, I can tell where some of my kids, their friends came over and there were frost on the ground. Because if you remember last week, it was pretty cold.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the frost were already starting like at 7-8 o'clock at night. You could start to see it on the cars and on the grass. And you could see where they parked their car and walked to my front door through the lawn.
Footprints.
Even when it was sunny and really nice out, you know, this week, you could still see the footprints where they had damaged the turf just a little bit from, and they don't know. And I'm not mad. It's just, it's funny how that is, which is.
It'll grow out of it.
Yeah, it will.
Next year.
Yeah,
but you'll see that for a while.
And we had early in the week when it was so cold, we didn't start our jobs till a little later. I wanted some of that frost to burn off on the people's lawns we were working at.
Right.
So they didn't have that issue.
Right. Oh, it's amazing how long this footprints will they'll be there. It's just like they appear.
It's been a while. You can see. I mean, there was about five of them that came over. One of them went this way. The other ones all went this way. And you could just see you could see exactly where their footprints were.
Why have a sidewalk up to the front door, right?
Yeah.
You don't need that anymore. You see, you can just take that away. Take that out of play.
Just walk through the mulch. Just walk through the beds. It's all good.
Why not?
Yeah.
So what else is, I mean, so you guys have been staying relatively busy and you got a lot of things on deck as.
We do. We're not going to get everything in. And I think a lot of guys are in our boat. So we just, you know, we're hoping for the weather. Somebody, and I'm going to have to ask Ron when he calls in. Somebody said maybe El Nino is setting up. So I don't know if that's going to affect our weather. I know it has in the past. So it's something I want to find out and see if that's really going to happen.
El Nino. I haven't heard that term in a long time.
If I remember last time it set up, we were really warm and wet. You know, so it set up for a much warmer temperature. A lot of stuff came out of the south. But instead of snow, we were getting rain. And we were able to work.
Did you go to meteorology school? I mean,
no, but I would have loved to.
I don't know anything.
You know what? I would love to. I love to watch the weather, but we watch it every day. You know, I got to get up. I got to see what's going to happen. So which job are we going to do? Unless it's gorgeous and sunny, you know, like today, if it doesn't rain, we were going to try to do something, but it looks like we're not going to get any.
Well, hold on to that thought, because when we come back, we're going to talk more about what you guys have been doing and also some things that we can still do because the weather has allowed us, or, you know, the temperatures being a little bit warmer might give us a little bit of extra time to do some things.
There are some things that should be done.
We've yet to do.
Yeah.
You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WUBE Cincinnati.
Plants, and what's going on in and around the landscape and so forth. And I know you guys have been busy as bees.
We are. If the weather allows us, we're working. There's a lot to do. And, you know, this is such a great time to plant trees and evergreen shrubs. Anything that's pretty tough and durable. You know, some of my perennials, like we did a job the other day. All the perennials, the homeowner, she's going to plant in the spring. We did the gold mops. We did the blue spruce. We did the Norway spruce. I did some viburnum, some burning bush, tough stuff. You know, put it in. Let the roots get settled in before winter.
And, you know, the ground still, it's workable. It's still relatively, the temperatures aren't too bad. You still get a lot of root development and growth underneath the soil surface.
Things aren't even close to being frozen. You know, people always worry about how late in the season can I plant? You can plant till the ground freezes, till you can't get in and work it.
You know, there was a customer the other day that, stopped in and bought like 20 bags of mulch.
And I love it.
I do too. But the problem is, now I think you and I discussed this the other day. You know, for me, you know, our seasons and our business model is totally different than yours.
Mm-hmm.
So for the most part, you know, we're holiday related and geared right now at this moment.
Yeah, a lot place of our, looks great. Go look at Tony's place.
Thank you. But a lot of our nursery stuff, you know, it's packed away and so forth. And someone was wanting some mulch, and I'm like, well, I have it, but some of the bags might be a little frozen, what's up on top.
Sure.
And that's what makes it difficult for the do-it-yourselfer, the homeowner, to mulch in the winter months or late fall, early winter. You know, ideally, you like to wait until the ground's somewhat close to freezing.
Right.
And then do that, but however, it's just not really conducive to do that.
Well, sometimes those bags of mulch last week were starting to get a little frozen.
Right. They were like rocks.
Some of the cypress mulch that we had left out, people come and got a few bags. They had to let them sit in the sun for a little bit. We try to leave some mulch. One, we try to leave it in a dry. We have a place where we can store some of it dry, so it doesn't get the moisture. And then two, you know, if we can throw them in the cold frame greenhouses, we've got one of the big ones in the back where we can store about as much as we want. And we'll put it in there because, you know, if the sun comes out at all, it's 90 degrees in a greenhouse.
Right. And then it's workable. You know, the only thing that I do like that, just as you stated, is I'll keep soils warm.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, when people come in, they want soil that's warm where they can still transplant some things, maybe some indoor house plants and so forth.
Right.
Whatever we use on a potting bench. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I probably should think about doing mulch, a pallet or two.
Yeah, it's not much.
No, it's not a lot to store. Just keep inside warm. But like you said, in the greenhouse, that's perfect.
So, you know, somebody might be saying, well, why are they talking about mulches? What do I need to do mulches for? If you look down at some of your plants and you're seeing some bare ground and you're seeing some of the little feeder roots on top, or you're seeing.
That's not good.
That's not good. No. That's why you want to go mulch. We want people to buy mulch because it looks great. But that's not really the true benefit of mulch.
Mm-mm.
You know, and it's one to break down, add good nutrients to the soil that's there, make it better. Keep weeds down, keep constant soil temperatures. So that's going to keep it from freezing as quickly. It's going to keep it from thawing as quickly. So those big swings aren't going to happen as quickly.
Right.
And then also, not to mention, it just helps the water retention. So if you have some things and you need to mulch, that's why people are still buying a few, because it's not a bad time to do it.
No, it's not a bad time to do it. But you know what? That's one of those things that most homeowners at this time of year, you're thinking about buying gifts for Elizabeth and the kids and so forth.
Well,
you're not
really thinking
about mulching.
10 days.
We're not far away.
Ten days.
Hey, the 21st, that's when the first day of winter will be ushered in.
Is that the longest day of the year? Or shortest day of the year?
Shortest day of the year.
Yeah, I'm ready to get that day here and let's start moving forward. This getting dark at 5 o'clock is for the birds.
I don't like it.
I don't either.
You know, I don't mind getting up and it's kind of dark. You know, I can,
like getting up in the morning, coming in today, this is
coffee. Yeah. And it's kind of peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get home, you still want to work something in time wise.
Well, that's my problem. You know, that's why I'm not getting anything done. Cause, you know, like you, we're working a lot of hours, you know, and we're working Saturdays. So by the time I get up, you know, at least Monday through Friday for us right now, cause we're closed on Sundays, you know, there's no time. I'm getting everybody else's done.
Well, you're getting it done for some of your homeowners and your clients and so forth. So tell me about the project that you guys just did recently. I think you guys, was it you or did Doug post all those photos on your Facebook?
Doug always posts the photos because he's the one.
He does all the work.
He's the one doing all our work, making
sure
everything's
done. You know, are you getting Doug a back brace or something to help him?
I'll tell you what, Doug is, he does an amazing
job.
He's
carrying it, Bob. He's carrying it.
He is. And all the employees, I mean, a lot of the college kids are back, you know, and they're like, hey, can I work over break? And, you know, we're working till the 22nd, I think will be our last day of work. And then we are closed between Christmas and New Year's. But if it's warm, starting right after New Year's, we're going back at it. But,
well, you know, when you're landscaping, here's what I want to ask you, because I've been doing some stuff in my own backyard. You know, what type of design elements are you thinking about when you're putting something together for a client?
Especially right now.
It's
the winter interest. You know, what's it going to look like without all the perennials, with the lilacs, the viburnum, and the hydrangeas just being sticks? You know, what kind of winter interest can you create so that you have a pleasing landscape now?
So when you do that, give me something that gives you winter interest. Is it you're going to an evergreen?
Let's start with some evergreens.
Okay.
So first, I'm going to throw some different colors. So not just green, it'll be different shades of greens. I might throw some blue in there with some blue spruce. I might throw some red twig dogwoods if I want to go a deciduous to get some winter interest because the stem's got some red to it. You know, some of those evergreens like your Fire Chief Arborvitas and your Mr. Mm-hmm. Bowling Balls, they'll change colors and give you a little fall color. So how do those fit into the landscape? You know, this is an easy time to see what everything's going to look like and where your beds are going to be for your annuals too, because you know, everything's dead or dormant that's going to be flowering. Also, then, this is a great time to start looking at, okay, if I'm looking at privacy, how much space do I have? You know, where is my privacy needed? How much ultimate room we have? You know, you and I talk about location, location, location. This is the one time, though, where if you're playing back by the woods, you got to pay attention because you might be in full sun today because there's no leaves on the trees. But come springtime, when all those leaves come out, you may not get sun until like 4 p.m.
Or 6 months from now in your middle of June, the longest day of the year.
Right. And you don't
things
have,
are different.
And maybe you have all day sun because of the earth changing on its axis. And, you know, the days are a little shorter, a little longer.
How do you like that one, Alex? Axis. He's using some. All right.
There you go. How about that?
A little scientific.
It's even 6 o'clock hour, too. And I'm,
like it.
I'm
like
working at it.
You're drinking that smart water.
That's right. But, you know, there's a lot of elements in it's not any different. It's just you have to think differently.
Well, you know, you keyed in on some things that I was considering down in my backyard. And we'll continue that conversation because one side of my backyard, it's privacy that I'm striving for.
Right.
We'll talk about some of those space constraints because I have a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those evergreens that bring you a little bit of color.
Right.
And keep that right there on your
yeah, and if somebody has something that they love this time of year, if there's a plant that they've used to give them some winter interest, we would love to hear about it. Because, you know, we love to talk plants. We're kind of plant nerds.
Winter interest in the garden. We'll be right back. Tony Works, In and Around the House.
You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WUBE Cincinnati.
Just talking a little bit about landscaping and kind of designing some things with conifers or things that give you color, winter interest, and so forth. And part of our discussion, we were talking about, you know, what you guys have been doing recently with installations and so forth. And I kind of brought in and interjected with what I've kind of been doing down in my backyard, which is work in progress. And you've helped me with some of that. And I'm greatly appreciative of you coming over and helping me plant some of this.
I can dig a hole still.
Green giant arborvitae. Yeah, that's why you've been working out. You're trying to keep up with
that. I used to be good, you know. There's something people may laugh, but landscaping is therapeutic. Working in your yard can be some people it's stressful, but some people it's very therapeutic. And for me, you know, getting out of the office sometimes, not, and I love my customers, but sometimes it can get a little stressful dealing with the general public. And
that's because of the timing issue.
Sometimes it's timing issues. Sometimes it's other things.
It's always a timing issue. You need to get this done. You need to get this done to get on to the next job. And then all of a sudden, it's hindered by weather.
Yes, weather of Cincinnati. But just going out and digging a hole sometimes, it's nice. Just go dig a hole.
But as we were talking, though, like on the left side of, you know, the new tread steps I had just placed in that the guys from Landtec Designs did for me. And, you know, I did all evergreens and so forth.
Yes.
And I was looking to build upon architectural form.
Mm-hmm.
And in that whole thing, you know, what really is center stage, because I'm looking for some privacy, are the green giant arborvitae.
Well, you had a little shade.
And we have a little shade, but I think there's a lot more sun that comes in there than we first thought. Yes.
Yes.
So I believe they're going to work, and that's going to give me an element of privacy.
They'll work in some shade. They may not be as full or as thick as the ones that are in sun.
Right.
Example, I just went to a house we planted last year, planted 15 of them. The gentleman wanted privacy along the side.
Mm-hmm.
15 of them. The ones on each end are a little shadier. The ones in the middle get a little bit more sun. Because we're talking about a 90-foot run. So we spread them out pretty good so there's room to grow. The ones in the center where there's more sun are about a foot and a half taller than the ones that are in the shade. They all look great, but the shade has tremendously slowed the growth process down.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, not that things won't do well in that situation, but again, it just alters its growth habit.
Yep.
Just a little, ever so.
It does.
Just ever so slightly.
And that may happen on yours. Because you got one that's a little more shaded, the other ones are a little more sun.
Which is okay. I anticipate that, though. Mm-hmm. Real quick, we have Ron Rothaus with us. He just dialed in on us, the Arbor Doctor. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Just fine. Sounds like we have all our bases covered in the horticultural industry this morning.
Yeah.
We're working at it.
Trying to.
How are you doing today, Ron?
Doing just fine.
How about all this rain that's coming today? Are we going to get a bunch?
Sounds like we are. Probably 1 to 2 inches, kind of centered practically right on the Cincinnati area.
That's a lot. Yeah, I saw your posting last night, and I'm thinking, no, Ron, don't say that. You know, he was posting some, the forecast at weather report, and I saw a lot of rain. And what really caught my attention there, Ron, I know that we've talked before in the past that we're above normal, you know, as far as precipitation is concerned. But I didn't really realize it's 20 inches.
Yeah, and it kind of depends on where you are.
Right.
It's always going to be a little bit low. I always tell people, have a rain gauge in your own backyard so you know exactly what fell in your yard. I am a cooperative observer for the National Weather Service, so I actually have an official record from my own rain gauge. So at my location, which is designated as Cheviot, Ohio 3 West. So I'm over in Green Township, the west side of Cincinnati. I'm about 20 inches above normal for the year.
Wow.
I believe the National Weather Service location over at the airport in northern Kentucky is about 5 inches less than that, probably about 15 inches above normal for the year.
Got it.
And a big part of that difference is that the week of Labor Day, I had several really, really heavy thunderstorms. It just kind of moved right over the west side of town. I think one was Friday of Labor Day weekend and just dumped, you know, inch to an inch and a half of rain at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of bumped me ahead. So I'm a little bit further ahead than some of the other areas locally, but everybody's pretty, at least in the Cincinnati, Southwest Ohio area, is well above normal for the year. But, you know, it's like anything else. You know, some months like September and November were exceptionally wet, whereas October was very, very dry.
It was.
So, of course, the dryness in October, since September had been so wet, my soil in my yard never really fully dried out. Now, the surface, you know, smaller plants, some of the perennials and annuals and things like that, really got to the point where they probably needed to be watered in October. But trees really...
Not much, was it?
Big deal, because there was so much soil moisture left over from September.
Where do you see us headed into January? Any ideas? What's your thoughts? What's your take on what we might see?
Well, there's been kind of a divergence this year in forecasts. You know, there's like two farmers' almanacs. One said we were going to get a really, really cold, snowy winter. The other one said a really mild winter, with a decent amount of precipitation. Then the National Weather Service on temperature was kind of up in the air, but on precipitation it said it's going to be kind of dry. So, you know, that's three very divergent forecasts. Mm-hmm. What it looks like is going to happen now is the next couple weeks are going to be pretty mild. So Christmas week in general looks like it's going to be fairly mild, and maybe even into the first part of the new year. But after New Year's, as we get into January and February, the pattern really looks like it's going to go back to a wintry pattern like we had in November and the first half of December.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like we could get some really strong incursions of Arctic air into the eastern United States and a really active storm track. And then the temperature, the question then becomes, where's that storm track going to be? If it's down near the Gulf Coast and up the East Coast, as we've seen several times, then you'd be looking at more snowstorms in the Appalachians, perhaps the southeast, up the east coast. If it moves a little bit further to the northwest, that's where the Ohio Valley could get into more ice storms and snowstorms and things like that. If you get a rogue storm that moves much further to the northwest, maybe up towards Chicago, then Cincinnati ends up being on the warm side, mm-hmm. with maybe freezing rain and
right.
snow, changing to rain and then back to snow. So, I mean, a lot of different possibilities exactly how it could go from the standpoint of snow or winter precipitation, but it really looks like cold air is going to be the big story in the January, February time frame.
I'm
not ready for that either, but I'm praying for warmer weather so we don't have those high heating bills in the greenhouse.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what I'm looking for.
Yeah, there's that. I always, you know, the other thing, you know, you don't want necessarily winter to get too cold,
right.
but I'm always one of those Debbie Downers for people that are, you know, you get into February and you're like, yay, we're getting warm weather. I'm like, no. Because you get too much warm weather too early.
It's not good.
And everything leaves out.
Mm-hmm.
And the earlier you get a long stretch of warm weather in the late winter, the better your chances of significant freeze damage in the landscape. The best thing that can happen from the standpoint of trees and flowers and everything is to have a relatively cold winter right on through the, you know, in the March. Just have things leaf out later in March, April, you know, when it would kind of normally happen.
Like it's supposed to.
It was pretty late this year, wasn't it, Ron? I think everything was kind of a little bit, because wasn't April pretty cold?
Yeah.
March was cold, April was cold, but people don't tend to remember because we had such a cold March and April. Is that February was exceptionally warm this
yeah.
past year,
right?
And a lot of the trees and things really got right to the starting gate of being ready to open. I mean, they were right there.
Yes,
and I don't think many things really crossed that threshold. So when it got really, really cold in March, most of the buds were tight enough that we really didn't see too much in the way of freeze damage. But we were right there in February. I was really starting to sweat bullets from the standpoint of, you know, late freeze damage. And then we had that really cold, snowy March at my location. I had 9 inches of snow in March.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and cold. That was April. I had 3 inches or so of snow in April.
Yeah.
And just really cold. And all of a sudden, just draw a line. May was the warmest May on record.
Yeah, it was. It was warm this summer. Well, Ron, always a pleasure to have you chat, call in, give us a yell, and tell us what's going on with the weather information and so forth. So have a great weekend. If we don't talk to you, you and your family have a wonderful Christmas season.
Wish the same to both of you, and I have a birthday 2 days after Christmas, so I'll be sending you my address so you can send me my present.
Okay, we'll do that. All right, Ron, have a good weekend.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye. Bye.
You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WUBE Cincinnati.
Good morning. And looks like we have a lot of rain in store for us today. We're just talking with Ron Rothaus, the arbor doctor, and he collects weather data over there on the west side of Cincinnati. Always interesting to talk with Ron and get all that information as to where we've been, where things are kind of headed, what kind of precipitation and so forth that we've received thus far this year. And, you know, today might be one of those days, Bob, where if we're getting a lot of rain, you might resort to some things or activities that you can do indoors. And we'll talk more about that later on, because I took a little road trip the other day, Bob, and I stopped over at the museum center to check out the train display.
Yeah, how was that?
That was really good. It always reminds me when I was a little kid and my dad would take me over to
Fourth Street. And that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
It's Cincinnati Gas and Electric down on 4th and Main to check out the train show. So those are memories you always have etched in the back of your mind or And you know that you just remember those.
No, there's some things. Cool stuff around Cincinnati. Yes, there are. Really go look at. And
there
see.
Are. And then later the other day, my last stop was the Krohn Conservatory, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well sometime in the 7 o'clock hour. And hey, if you want to stay in touch with us, a great way to do it is via our Facebook page. Certainly go out there. You have to like us, and if you have any questions, you can certainly ask us questions on Facebook. May not get back to you right that day, but eventually we will in a couple of days, so give us a little bit of time. Also, you can email us as well at inandaroundthehouse@b105.com. And if you want to catch a past show, you can certainly do that. Go to our website, inandaroundthehouse.com, and download one of the old podcasts. So that's a great way to stay in touch with us from that standpoint. And before we went into the break and we got chatting with Ron Rothaus, we were talking about different things in the landscape, Bob, and some of the approaches to landscaping, what elements you take into consideration and so forth, what kind of characteristic traits about plants that make it more interesting and attracting. And we were discussing some of what I did down in my backyard, in addition to what you guys have been doing thus this late fall and going into the early part of winter, now that the weather's been good for you to still continue to plant.
Sure.
For me, you know, I was looking for some architectural form with various evergreens on the one side of my yard. And going back to that, the arborvitae that we planted that you brought down, beautiful, beautiful. You know, see how deep and rich the green color is.
On the green giant.
On that green giant. Gosh, yeah. And I just can't wait till they start to put on some growth and root in. Give me some of that privacy element. And if you're looking for privacy, that's probably one of my go-to plants when it comes to
privacy.
It just
doesn't get too big.
No.
You know, and that's, you know, when we go back to what are we looking for, you know, sometimes you have a smaller yard where you need some evergreen trees, but, you know, a big Norway spruce or a big pine or something just, you know, in 20 years is just going to engulf the backyard, you know. So an arborvitae is not a bad one to go to, you know. I don't have much trouble with green giants as long as they get normal moisture. They're not. They can handle a little bit of moisture, but nothing, there's not a whole lot that likes to sit in water.
Exactly.
And this is a good time because if you've had, you know, there's standing water out there in spots that are low, you know, so you can tell when you go out to do your landscaping if there's moist areas, you know, whether you need to fix the drainage by doing a little regrade, add a drain pipe, you know, those are all things that you can see now. You know, for the one gentleman we just worked for, we added a giant dry creek through the whole backyard because the way the subdivision was designed, the backyards were all wet and they had to run to some grades and kind of grade the area to get the moisture out. And
right.
You know, that's hard to do in flat area.
Oh, so, yeah, extremely.
But yours, you don't have, you're on a hillside, so you don't have a moisture issue.
It works out pretty well. You know, it gets a little dry, but I do have an irrigation system.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I also incorporated something a little bit different. And I was looking for a little bit different form, something a little bit different with a different height element to it, and a little bit of yellow to it. And I'm gonna give this plant a shot. Well, obviously, because I planted it, it's the Oriental spruce called Skylands.
Skylands, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, it, on average, it can get 10 to 35 feet, and it's, you know.
But it's not going to get 35 here.
No.
Not
no.
Especially in your location.
And 4 foot to 12 foot in width.
Mm-hmm.
But in a 10-year period, it might reach 6 to 8 feet.
Yeah. So
you
it's
going to be a very slow grower.
It's a miniature. Yeah. I mean, not a miniature because it gets big. It'd just be a slow grower.
It's very slow growing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it has an application for me in that spot. Now, there's one thing about the Oriental spruce Skylands. It's this, you know, it prefers full sun in order to keep that nice golden yellow color. However, it likes some of the cooler temperatures. We can get really hot here, just as Ron Rothaus was saying about the month of May.
Exactly.
So therefore, I'm going to give it a little bit of shade, too. So I have that element. You know, it might get just a little bit of shade during the hottest part of the day. So it's going to be a little finicky for me. So I'm willing to take that risk. But the texture of the Oriental spruce, the Skylands, and the color that it can bring you, I'm hoping it gives me many, many years of enjoyment. You know,
right.
Enjoyment. So,
and you know, that's something just to consider also when you're thinking about a plant like that for your location and your application is, yes, in the first 10 years, it's going to be real slow growing, 8 to 10 foot tall. I think it said in that description, it can get up to 35 feet. Well, you know,
that's in its natural environment.
That's an ideal conditions, perfect conditions. But, you know, also if you know, and I don't like to take things out, but sometimes you're going to plant something, you're going to get 20 years out of it, and it's going to be time to put something new in.
Oh, I know that. And just with that thought, I'll tell you what I think that I might have to move down the road as we talk a little bit more about this.
You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WUBE Cincinnati.
This morning is Bob Barr from Barr's Nursery, and always a pleasure to have Bob in here with me and just bantering back and forth and talking plants. And speaking of talking plants, Bob, we have Scott with us on the line. Scott, good morning. How are you? Hello, Scott.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. How about yourself? Hey. You all ready for the Christmas season?
That song, no. No is the answer. Hey, I got a two-part question. Uh-huh. Actually, contractor grade basically plants the globes, maybe a little bit of arborvitae just shaping up. Can I do that still?
Yeah, you know, arborvitae you can prune in November and December, and even in the early part of the year, you know, given that you can get out and work based upon what the weather's like. As far as arborvitae are concerned, typically April, May, when they're putting on new growth, you want to leave them alone at that particular time, and you don't want to prune them back anytime in August, September, October. You know, it's not that critical, but
I'm talking like the pyramid arborvitae.
Mm-hmm.
And all I want to do is shape them a little bit.
Yep. It won't
like
hurt a
maybe
thing.
Maybe half inch. Okay. And then the next thing is I got a little bit of grass type stuff in my beds.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything right now I could put on that? Or is it too late?
No, it's too late. It's most of the products that you use as far as getting rid of things in the landscape beds like that, especially grassy weeds, really a lot of the products are temperature sensitive. So,
therefore,
I would wait till things are actively growing again next spring when the temperatures get above 65. Usually 65 to 85 is the ideal temperature range to spray. And,
I think in my bed they're actively growing right now.
Are they in your mulch beds or are they in your lawn?
Yeah, mulch beds.
Mulch beds? Yeah, I mean, if you did try the spray, one, you'd have to do it on a really warm day. Make sure you've got at least 24 hours of drying time. Because just realize if the product, there's a chance it's not going to work, but if it does, it's going to take a lot longer than normal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty much my question. I know we can't do flowering, but everything else, I was kind of curious about it.
But you know what,
now,
Scott?
Where's my cutoff date on that?
On the evergreens, as long as you're just doing a little light pruning, as long as there's not heavy frost or ice damage, you can get that even in January and February. As long as you're not getting in there and really butchering things. If it's just a little shape.
Here's a real quick question. Back by my air conditioners, I got plants that grow like 4 foot in a season
mm-hmm.
that need cutbacks so they can breathe. I mean, it's like I don't know what they're called. But, okay. I mean, can I cut that back?
Well, you know, it depends on what it is. Is it a grass or is it a blooming type of shrub?
No, it's just a leafy, stemmy plant. Green.
So what's going to happen is anything that has a bloom on it, if you cut anything now, almost anything now, let me rephrase
it,
you're going to lose the bloom for next year.
Right.
So if you're cutting a burning bush, if you're cutting a viburnum, you know, you're going to lose some, maybe a little bit, but it's not going to hurt it. So if you need to cut it to get it off your air conditioner, I think some of the guys at Arling House would say, let's cut that thing.
Well, that's very important because you need a lot of good air movement around that condenser unit.
Yeah, but if it's a leafy thing like a burning bush, you're probably going to be fine to go ahead and shape that up. Just know if it has some flowers, you are going to sacrifice that. You know, some people will argue don't trim it at all because you got to save the bloom. I'm one of the guys that likes to say, let's have a healthy and good-looking plant. Even if I have to sacrifice a few blooms, I'd rather have a healthy, better-looking plant.
I'm on your side on that.
Yeah,
so,
but
yes.
You know, if you want to send us a picture, you know, we can tell you exactly what to do with that one. Because without knowing what it is, I can't give you the 100% term to say do this. But you know, you're probably okay.
Hook a chain to it and pull it out.
Yeah, that you can do anytime you want.
No, I'm kidding. All right, buddy, I appreciate
you. Hey, you have a great day. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
See you, Mike.
Thanks.
Scott, and we have Mike with this. Mike has a question about I think planting trees. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Thank you. And you're doing all right?
We're doing okay. Just trying to get ready for the holiday season, you know, and get all that good stuff in and get ready to take a little bit of time off and spend with the family and some friends. So what about
you?
I got
a question. I got some maple trees that have come up underneath my white pine. They're about 12 to 18 inches tall. And I was wondering if I could transplant them now or do I have to wait till spring?
No, I think you can certainly do that now. You know, the ground's workable, it's pliable, and, you know, the temperatures of the ground are conducive to make that change or that translocate to a new location. Get as much of that root structure as you possibly can, and I think you'll be fine. And just mulch it in a little bit.
Okay. I pulled some out this summer. I pulled some out, and they were just, I mean, it really came out easy. I just pulled them out because they were in that pine mulch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I got a lot of roots, so they're doing okay out there in the field. And they're those beautiful red maple trees.
Oh,
so
there you go. Even better.
So I wanted to transplant them over along the side of the field, you know what I mean, so they... I got a nice growth of trees.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea, and actually you're getting a huge head start by doing it this time of year versus waiting until next spring. So,
I'd do it.
Yeah, no stress at all.
Okay, good. I don't know, do I have to worry about the rabbits and stuff eating them or what?
No, I don't think so at this time. You know, I just would let things go and just let it. You know, you could put a little bit of fencing around them to protect them somewhat.
Yeah, if you're worried about it and they're trees you really want to do well, you know, take a few minutes and go ahead and protect them. Why not?
Sure. Okay, I got some bird screen or something around it, I'm sure.
This is a great time. Just make sure you get as much root as you can this time of year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right.
I got another question. I got some, I think they call it Creeping Charlie or something in my front yard. Mm-hmm. That stuff's just taking over like crazy. I was wondering what you could use on that to get rid of it.
You know, if it's, my first question is, and Bob chime in any time, you know, when you have Creeping Charlie that's in the lawn, you know, trying to coexist with your existing turf, my first question is, would you say that it's more Creeping Charlie than turf or vice versa? If it's close to 50-50 or 40-50 Creeping Charlie, I'm probably going to be more apt to get rid of everything with a non-selective herbicide. That's just me.
But that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of weeds.
That's a lot of weeds. But Creeping Charlie is very difficult to eradicate, especially with a selective herbicide. And, you know, there's really two times of the year that I have found that is really key to getting rid of it. Mm-hmm. First time is in the spring when it's in bloom. When it's blooming, you know, it gets a little blue bloom. It's more vulnerable because it's exerting a lot of energy as it's blooming. And the second best time is like in the fall as it starts to slow down a little bit. You know, some of its energy is being translocated down into the root system. And because of that, I think that takes in the product a lot more efficiently and more effectively, and it helps you, you know, eradicate it. But
you're not going to do anything at least until April.
Here, right.
To do anything, because that's where, like, the last caller, Scott, was talking about killing some stuff. Those type of pre- or post-emergence sprays, they're not going to work this time of year. You're just wasting your money, and we don't want to see you do that.
Okay.
So I would get started. If it's a really warm April, you can get started then. But we got to get those nighttime temperatures above 40 to 45 degrees and the daytime temperatures in the 60s to be having some of those products work.
And if you want to go the selective route, Mike, Weed Free Zone from Fertilume is a very good product to use for Creeping Charlie.
Okay, great.
And you may, if it's early in the season, a little tip, I don't say this often, use a spreader sticker with it if we're right around the 70-degree range, and you'll be a lot more effective with it, and it may take two applications. So another 10 to 14 days, you may need to reapply, but stay with it, and you'll come out on top.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, it's a pain in the rear.
Yeah, you said it mildly, Mike.
It's
so ugly, you know.
Yeah, it's tough to get, but you can do it.
You can do it.
So much property, it's hard to take care of the whole thing. I got 10 acres, so I got about 5 acres that are grass, and so I don't try to fertilize that whole mess. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's more grass I got to cut.
Well, and what you want to do on spots like that when you have that much space is you can't try to tackle all of it at once. You got to say, okay, I'm going to work on this section. I'm going to make it good. I'm going to take care of it first, and then I'm going to go to the second section.
Yeah, amen.
Yep.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right,
hey, Merry Christmas,
Merry
Mike.
Merry Christmas to you and your family. Christmas. You do the
thank
same. Thanks.
So all right, bye-bye.
You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WUBE Cincinnati.
I like it. I like it.
10 days. 10 days.
That's it.
To Christmas.
And then what? We have to look forward to 2019.
I am very much looking forward to 2019.
I am stoked for next spring.
Yeah, I'm super about excited about it.
All the time.
So I can't wait to, you know, it's just kind of weird to think that this is the last show of 2018. It's kind of weird.
It is weird.
Where did this go? I mean, I it feels like I just filled in for you because you were gone down to Atlanta in January.
It flies by, Bob. You're getting older.
I am.
You're not like the rest of us old guys, but you're getting older.
I'm not catching you, but I'm getting older.
It'll be a while.
That's
you're
right.
Not too far behind. But
I'm not that far
behind. Anyway, we were talking about various things in the landscape, and we're talking about things that give you different architectural looks and growth habits and so mm-hmm. forth. And we were just briefly talking about, you know, I don't want to hone in on my backyard, but when I'm looking at a design in a landscape and so forth, I'm looking at things that give me different forms and texture and various heights and spreads and so forth.
Well, can I go for a second? People might be saying, why are we talking? The reason we're talking about your yard is because yours is one of those yards where we're working with a lot of different elements. We have
slope.
We have lack of sun on one side, a lot of sun in the middle, lack of sun on the other side. We've got, you know, some hardscapes to work around. You know, it is a little bit of a challenge.
Right.
But the hillsides sometimes are the ones that turn out the best. But that's why we're talking about, because this is what people need to consider. You know, what are my options? Some people, it's just full sun all day long. Maybe right. they're south, southwest, and the sun just comes up and hits it all day long. But on yours, you know, yours is a challenge because one side is shade.
You know, at one time, my backyard was mostly shade. So mm-hmm. everything has changed in recent years. I've lost a couple of trees. You know, I lost a hickory tree for whatever reason, a beautiful buckeye tree, you know. And of course, I think it's a beautiful tree, but a lot of people don't because buckeyes typically start looking a little ratty late in the year.
But still, buckeye is the state tree here, it's
state
not,
tree of Ohio, but I, you know, over in Kentucky, I had a buckeye tree, believe it or not.
Yeah, I believe it.
But, you know, working with my landscape down in the yard and the slope and area, all those elements that you just described mm-hmm. is sometimes fun to work with. Sometimes it's challenging to work with. And probably the most challenging thing for me when I'm working with a landscape like that, and it's my own yard, I think about different things all the time. And then all of a sudden it's like, no, you know what I want to do? I want to use this plant because I like so many different elements about various types of plants. You just can't do it all.
But that's not you. That's everybody. Because how many people walk into the garden center and they go, oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. I like that. You know, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
I've fallen
victim to that. But sometimes that gets you in trouble because you don't look at the size of the plant. You don't look at the location that it's supposed to go to. You know, you don't look at the architectural design, like we keep talking about. You know, you want some color pop. Do you want the evergreens?
And exactly that, because what else I've incorporated down there are the Fire Chief Arborvitae.
Yep.
You know, very hardy plant, height 3 to 5 foot, pretty much the same spread, full sun to part shade, kind of a globe-shaped
yes.
type of growth pattern with yellow golden foliage that gets that nice orangish burnt red tinge to
really
it
pretty.
In the fall.
Really
I like
pretty.
It. Now, but on the flip side, I've had people who have struggled with this particular plant. So now I'm going to find out firsthand, is it difficult to grow? I don't know what your experience has been with the Fire Chief Arborvitae, but I love the color in it.
You know, most plants that are zoned for our area or can handle colder, you know, you and I always preach about, you know, you're not going to get a zone 8 plant to live here except for through the spring, summer, and fall. You know, because it's going to freeze.
Now the question.
Yeah. So you got to make sure. So this goes back to knowing what you're getting and getting it in the right spot. So most plants, there's so much information because they've already been tested for years and years, unless it's a brand new plant. And even then, the new plant is just an introduction to an old plant that's a new variety, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Usually. And, you know, so if you're planning ahead, like the Fire Chief, I believe it's a zone 3 or 4.
It's pretty hard. I mean, it's pretty hard from a cold standpoint,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's a sport off of Rheingold.
Right.
Arborvitae.
Mm-hmm.
But Where do people struggle with this? Do you think it's in the summer months when they plant it in the spring and it's a water issue?
So where I think most people struggle with plants in general is, one, the wrong location. You know, so it'll tolerate full sun. But let's say it's full sun, no irrigation, and it's just super hard clay. Well, there's three things that it'll live, but might keep it from being prosper, you know, beautiful and big and lush.
It will prohibit it from flourishing,
right,
and doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. So, you know, knowing location. So, like, if you put arborvitae and it's sopping wet all day long and it never dries out,
not good.
It's not going to work well. It's a shallow root, you know, and or if you put it in an area where it's really dry and then you don't irrigate, you may have an issue as well. If we get into the middle of June and it's 110 degrees, never that. Man, we've had 100 degree days and we go weeks where we have a drought through the summer. Guess what? That's one that might struggle.
It could. Hold on to that thought, because we're going to talk more about some plants I've incorporated into the back, and they're mostly evergreens and conifers. And also, Denny, the bird guy, hang in there, and we're going to get to you when we come out of the break.
You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WUBE Cincinnati.
Before we went into the break, our good friend Denny the Birdman has been patiently waiting for us. Good morning, Denny. How are you? Hello, Denny.
How y'all doing?
We're doing well. How about yourself? Merry Christmas to you and your family.
That's Merry Christmas to y'all. That's one reason why I was calling, to wish you all happy Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you. You're always so cordial at that, and I know that you had called and wished us a happy Thanksgiving as well, so I know we can always depend on hearing from you.
Yeah, I believe in the holidays and family get-together, so.
Most definitely. And so have you been, it's warmed up a little bit for our feathered friends, but I've been feverishly feeding them all the time.
That's good.
Keeping my feeders full, and I know that they'll go through those splits, those peanut splits, awfully quick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I put out peanut suet, peanut-flavored suets, and sunflower seed twice a week, so it keeps them pretty happy.
That it does. You ever just put plain peanut butter out there for them, Denny? Will they go for that, or is that good or not good to do?
I used to make my own suets out of peanut butter.
Oh, yeah?
At one time, I used to add black oil sunflower seed to it. You know, I'd heat it up, melt it down.
Right.
Stir it all in and put it in things that the suets come from that I bought at the store. And I put them in there and put them in the freezer and froze them. And they ate them right up.
Huh. You know, I have a question for you. And Bob and I were talking about this one day last week. And I had heard this from somebody. And I don't know if it's true. And I hope I explain this to where it makes sense. You know how we have a lot of honeysuckle, which is an invasive species here in our area?
Oh, yeah.
Is it true that a lot of that honeysuckle has kind of made its way as a result of birds eating the berries and in turn the droppings? And I understand it's like a certain mile kind of like wide path that goes from north to south as birds migrate. Have you ever heard anything of the sort?
Well, I know that they spread the seeds by dropping,
right,
by droppings and stuff like that when they eat the fruit. But the fruit's usually one of the last ones that they'll eat during the wintertime.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's not really flavorful or anything like that. It's just basically a seed-bearing pod is all it is, you know.
Right.
And they will spread the seeds that way, that's for sure.
You know, I think of you often when this time of year in a garden center, when we saw a lot of holiday various decorations and so forth, and when we do the holiday greens, the porch pots.
Uh-huh.
I encourage people to use the Ilex berries, the real Ilex berries, the hollies,
right,
versus the artificial, because I've heard where sometimes birds mistakenly think that the artificial berries are the real thing, and that's not good for them. Have you ever heard of that occurring or happening?
I've heard of it, yeah. I've never actually seen anything like that because,
right,
you know, I don't usually put out fake berries or anything like that, because I always plant for the birds and the animals and stuff, you know. So I always have the real thing.
Exactly.
But I have heard that before.
I have too, and I always encourage people, if you're doing things outside decorating wise, try to use real berries if you want to use berries at all, and use the artificial stuff indoors. But a lot of the artificial berries, you know, you're seeing more and more that are waterproof, and that's why people are starting to use them more often outside. But I'm conscientious of that. I'm always just making people aware. So I just, when I talk about that, I think about you often and the birds. So
yeah, I try not to. I just try and use the natural, you know, real berries and things like that, because, like I said, you know, I always plant for the birds and the bees and the butterflies and stuff like that. So you know, I'm always looking for the natural.
Well, Danny, always a pleasure to hear from you. Again, Merry Christmas to you and your family. And
always a pleasure talking to y'all.
We look forward to
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I'll probably contact you again next year.
Sounds good. So we'll talk to you in 2019. All right,
2019.
Danny.
Looking forward to it.
All right. You take care. Bye.
Have a good one.
You too.
You know, I always learn a lot when he calls in.
You know, there's a
he is so knowledgeable, you know, and it just. Because that's one thing you and I are always honest with our listeners. We don't know everything, you know. And Denny calls in. He can teach us some things, you know. And I appreciate that. So I love when the callers call.
He's our naturalist when it comes to the birding world.
Well, and that's something as a design with landscaping. You know, I do think about that, putting in some trees for the little birds to nest in for the winter or to get protection from predators.
Right.
You know, because there's always bigger birds out there wanting to have a snack.
Couple hawks.
You know, so, you know, if you can give a place for the little birds to get protected, you know, if you think about that part, you can do it. There are certain plants that'll help with that.
You know, that's another element that I've thought a lot about in my backyard is, you know, where can birds roost or where can they spend the evening or the overnight hours, mm-hmm. so to speak?
And then
some of those taller evergreens and so forth, they can tuck themselves in there. They can keep warm during the winter months. They can hide from predators, and I've been thinking more and more and more about that.
Sure.
And berry-producing plants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the kind of things that attract backyard wildlife.
Right.
And nothing more pleasing to see wildlife in the backyard.
Well, unless you have a lot of deer issues.
And
and they're eating everything you have. So, you know, but I'm just kidding. But you're right. I mean, having some of the birds in there and the bees and the butterflies, you know, having some pollinators.
The pollinators.
There's a lot of things that you can do, and you know, if each one of us do a little bit, nobody has to do a lot.
And that's going back to when I was telling you before we went into the break that there's a lot of times, 2 or 3 years ago, I would have thought about planting something totally different.
Yeah.
And I know 2 or 3 years from now, I'm going to think about planting something totally different.
Well, one thing that you have to keep in mind, and you did a good job, we were planting yours. And you were, and I think, you know, I was taking it that way, that you wanted this to be a pretty full landscape. You're not going to have a lot of mulch in between your plants in the future.
Right.
So we planned accordingly for that. You know, that's something for people to think when they're starting to work on their projects, whether it's this winter or even for next spring. You know, when you plan and you do all the planting, usually the first couple of years, it looks like you need more stuff.
All the time, it looks like you need more stuff.
You know, like the job we did that we put pictures on, when I really look at it, you go, you know, it needs more stuff. Well, the perennials were not in there. There were no, like, ornamental grasses. There weren't a lot of flowering shrubs. You know, so none of that was in there. So it really looked spaced out. But, you know, everybody's planted shrubs or who has planted shrubs, no, they grow. That's one thing you can have. If they're growing and they're happy, they're going to grow. And they fill up usually more space than you think they will.
And, you know, we were measuring some things, too. We got the tape measure. We were looking at various widths and so forth.
You got the tape measure. See, I just step it off.
I kind of want to know. All directions.
I know.
Hey, your step off is different than my step off.
Hey, mine's almost 3 feet exactly.
3 feet exactly. But anyway, we were talking about some things I've incorporated. And lastly, what we talked about was the Fire Chief Arborvita.
Mm-hmm.
Also, another plant that I incorporated down there is low growing. It's a ground cover. It's Microbiota.
Yeah, that's a cool plant. Now, that one's a little temperamental at times.
You think?
I do. You know, it's got to be in the right spot. If you put that in 100% full sun, all dry, all the time, and you just say, I'm going to put it in there and I'm not going to do anything, I think you might have a couple issues. Or if it's too wet. That one doesn't like to be wet all the time.
But I'm part sun, part shade.
So you're going to be great.
I think it's going to work out.
But that's where you planned on the spot.
Now, right now, it's turned that nice winter gray color.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it gives you that nice low spreading mounding kind of effect. A half a foot to a foot and a half in height.
Now, I'm going to warn you. You do know, and you know this, but just for our listeners, for fun, if it's a cold winter, it may take a little while to get out and get green again.
It's all right. I'm always at work, so I have plenty of time to wait for
you. You are always. We do work too much.
Hold on to that thought. In and around the house with Tony Works, and again, Bob Bard is kindly hosting with me again this morning, and we'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WQBE Cincinnati.
The original or the new?
The original. Because when I was a little kid watching The Grinch, it's like, why is he so mean? Why does he just want to go down into Whoville?
And so if I ask Tina, is she going to say you're a Grinch?
Probably.
Okay. I bet she would. See, I like the new one. I like the one with Jim Carrey.
I do too.
Some people don't like that one, but, you know, I enjoy it.
I thought he did a great job. I'm not a big Jim Carrey fan, but I thought he did a great job in that movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed the movie, so.
I thought so as well. And, hey, we have Joe with us on the line this morning. He's traveling down south of us, and I believe he's in the Crittenden area. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Yeah, it's fine. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
So what's going on, Joe?
Every Saturday.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate that very much. What's going on today?
What's going on? I called a couple months back, and we just bought a house. And actually, today is 1 year marker for where we bought the house there. We live in Glencoe, Kentucky.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I talked to you guys briefly about my apple trees that just didn't do anything this year. They were overran by the Japanese beetles.
Mm-hmm.
Got all kinds of fungus all over it and things like that. And I did a little bit of pruning once the leaves come off and stuff
right.
like that. But I just feel they're not going to do anything. They're just that far gone. And I was wondering if you recommended any professionals to come out, because, you know, when you cut a tree, you want to plant a tree.
Right,
and,
right.
I just thought about just eliminating those three trees, getting rid of them, and plant three new trees in their place.
You know, I remember the conversation, Joe, and these trees, they're pretty well established. They were there when you moved in, right?
Correct.
And have you done any pruning with those trees by chance since you've been there?
I did a little bit. You know, I'm somewhat of a green thumb, but not. When it comes to trees, I have not really done nothing but my gardens and flowers and stuff. I can do fine.
Right.
It's just these trees are just horrible.
Yeah, and without me seeing them or, you know, just having an opportunity to view what's going on, you know, I know you can rejuvenate some of the older apple trees. And when you're growing fruit trees, it's very difficult to be successful at growing fruit trees without any intervention on your behalf, be it you're spraying insecticides or fungicides. And that all comes down, really it boils down to timing. That's a timing issue. And I don't know in our conversation the last time if I had mentioned a particular PDF file from the University of Kentucky about growing home fruits, which is ID-21. And if you were just to Google that, ID-21 with the University of Kentucky behind it, you would see this wonderful PDF file about growing fruits and various other edibles in the landscape from a homeowner standpoint.
Right.
And that's very, very beneficial. And also, along with that, so is the timing when it comes to pruning apple trees. Usually, if you can get out there and prune those sometime in mid-February, and thin them out. Anything crossing inside. Now, those are just some things, some tips that I want to give you about the apple trees. Now, if they're in such a shape where you're pretty much done, you're fed up with them, I understand that.
It's probably not if I can save them. I guess I might have misinterpreted it. I thought I should have done it now, but
right.
You know, haven't done a whole lot, but I I did get online and seen a few things about the shoots or sprouts or whatever you're talking about where the branches come out and you got these ones that go straight vertical.
Yeah, those you want, those you definitely prune off. Those are water sprouts. So you want those off. Yes, absolutely. That just robs and takes a lot of energy away from that particular apple tree or apple
There's
trees.
There's a million of those damn darn things. So.
Yeah, yeah. No, you want to go after those. Go ahead, Bob.
And now's not a bad time to prune, late winter into early spring, to go ahead and clean those up. And
just don't want to get out there today when it's pouring down rain.
Yeah, it may have to be tomorrow. It may have to be next week. But, you know, I pulled up real quick that ID 20 in UK, and it pulled it right up. It's easy to find. And,
okay.
Did you pull up ID 21?
ID 21.
Yeah.
University of Kentucky. That's all I put into Google search.
ID/21
Yeah,
or
-21.
I didn't even put that. I just put ID 21 University of Kentucky. It came up.
Joe, here's the beauty of this particular PDF that Bob was telling you about, is that there, and here's something you may want to do, you know, as those apple trees that you have get a little bit older, you know, plant one close by. And as it starts to get older and develop, then get rid of the older one.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea.
I imagine these things are probably pretty old, really.
Right.
I mean, 15, 20 years.
Right.
Do you have room to plant some new ones around these so you can start some new ones?
I've got probably about right out there where they're at, about a 3/4 acre spot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's room out there, but I also got some huge oak and walnut and ash trees out there, too.
I wish I had room for fruit trees. I know wish more people would grow fruit trees that do, in fact, have room. But there's a couple varieties in this particular file. There's some apple tree varieties. This is so, so important, that do well in our area, especially in the state of Kentucky. For example, Enterprise is one that will do extremely well.
They'll pick you up.
Wine Crisp. Yeah, they'll pick you up.
I'm sorry.
That was good. That was really good. Right. Liberty.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what variety these are.
Right.
They got the size of maybe big golf balls, you know, a little bigger than a golf ball, and they just, with the Japanese beetles and the moles and stuff, I think one of the main things is get rid of the grubs in the ground to stop all that.
Yeah, well, the Japanese beetles are definitely a nuisance, you know, and that's when you might spray 7, you know, and again, you know, you have to intervene. If you want to be successful with fruit trees, you have to intervene.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And what else you also want to take into consideration is that particular tree's bloom period and its harvest period.
Yes.
And you know, they need, you know, you need a pollinator with apples because that's so important, and they need the They need to bloom at the same time, okay? And that's what's important.
They did bloom good. That's one of the reasons they were like a, if I can remember, white, like a white flower with a...
Right, exactly. And, you know, real quick before we let you go, at the very end of this particular publication, what's extremely important is where that plant is, Joe, in its light or growth cycle. I cannot tell you to spray like March 15th or March 30th. It's all about where it is at that time of year in its growth cycle, where the buds are. Are they starting to bloom? Are they starting to swell? And given that information, that's when you spray. So there's a nice graph at the end of this particular PDF that gives you that information. So as far as anybody else, Joe, that might help you out in the Glencoe area, I would have to research that for you. I'm not familiar with garden centers in Glencoe area. Is Interstate Greenhouse pretty close to you?
That I'm not sure. Like I said, I just...
In Carrollton? There, so how far are you from that Carrollton exit?
About 30 miles north of them.
Is it 30 miles? It's not that far, is it? I guess it could
be.
Maybe
about 20, 25 miles. I'm exit 62, and I think the Carrollton exit's like...
44, I think, or something.
Yeah.
Like
I'm thinking of, you know, Daniel Tandy down there at Interstate might be a good source for you to get, you know, hook up with. Come a little north. If you come a little north, stop out and see Todd Baton at Baton's or Scott at Maddox and see what they have as far as fruit trees are concerned.
Yeah.
Up there in the Walton area or something?
Yeah, a little further in Union.
Okay.
So one of those two directions, head in, like I said, Daniel Tandy at Interstate may be of some help, or come on up north. And I know that Baton's carries a lot of fruit trees. So those would be my two choices. And let us know how it goes. And don't be afraid to stay with the edibles. I think they're a good thing, and I think you'll be successful.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Joe.
Merry Christmas.
And you guys run a great show. Love
well, thank
it.
You. Merry Christmas. All right.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, fruit trees are a very interesting thing. And
they're a little touchy, a little finicky, and you don't always want to mess with them sometimes. But
nothing like when you can go out and pick an apple off of a tree and just sink your teeth into it, or a peach tree, all that good stuff. And for those that are interested in fruit trees, you definitely have to tune into us sometime in February, because we always have David Kester from the Boone County Extension Office in along with us at that point in time in the year to talk about fruit trees and various things, because, in my opinion, he is the guru of fruit trees. And if you need to get in touch with David Kester, certainly do so at the Boone County Extension Office. And if I get an opportunity, what I'll try and do is see if I can look up their phone number sometime when we come back out of the next break. And you can give those guys a call and certainly grow some very nice edible fruits. 749-B105. If anything's troubling you in the landscape or something you want to do when we turn a corner and go into 2019, let's talk about it. We'll see you in just a few minutes.
You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WUBE Cincinnati.
And hopefully you got your Christmas tree up. If not, we only have about 9 or 10 days left here that you need to get that thing up. There's some people, Bob, who will wait till the 24th to put it up.
Yeah, I know. Hey, everybody has their thing.
They have their thing.
You know, but this is the weekend to go ahead, and we're going to talk about it later, is live trees. If you're going to a tree you want to plant in your yard, this is kind of the weekend. You know, this weekend and next weekend.
Take me to it. How are we going to do it?
Well, we always talk about live trees. People say live trees, and to me, a live tree is one you're going to really replant.
A bald and burlap tree.
So this is the weekend because, one, you can go ahead and it's already kind of acclimated because it's 50 degrees. So you'll be able to take it right into the house. We're 10 days away. It's not going to get you through New Year's, but it will get you to Christmas.
Right. You know, and I like that element because take advantage of the weather. Mm-hmm. So there you are. But you also have to take into consideration you can't keep the house too warm. You need a large galvanized, like, shallow tub.
Got to have something to put the ball in. And you got to remember, these trees, they have a pretty good sized root ball, you know, and they're pretty heavy. So you're going to need help, either a dolly to move it in and out of the house. I've seen people use old kids' skateboards, you know, they'll put it on a skateboard and kind of pull it along.
Yeah.
You know, so there's things you can do. Some people have tried a garbage can. That's tough because you got to get it in and out of the garbage can. So, you know, but one on wheels and they'll slide it. But you need a galvanized tub. You need something that you can keep some moisture on the root ball, mm-hmm. but won't leach all over the carpet.
Like mulch? A little bit of light mulch? Would you do something clean like a...
Like a light topsoil, like the Garden Magic, like a little topsoil maybe in there. Mm-hmm. But what I'll do is I'll take some logs and actually get it straightened up and kind of prop up the tree to make it straight in the house with some logs.
Have you done this before?
I have had a live tree before.
Okay.
So use the logs and then a little soil or mulch or just something that doesn't have an odor or not going to bring in bugs or anything like that. Just to help keep a little moisture around it.
I would use not a grade A cypress, but something like a cypress
nugget?
That's clean.
Oh, a nugget, cypress?
You know, a nugget might work.
A nugget
the
would nuggets, work.
The pine nuggets. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something that's clean and easy and lightweight.
Yeah. So if you have a live tree, let's say it was 18 degrees, you would have to put it in the garage or somewhere where it's warmer and do a slow acclimation from cold to inside the house 70 degrees.
How long? A day or two?
Day or two.
Okay.
Just a day or two. So you buy the tree, go somewhere where it's warm for a day or two. Now, the advantage of this weekend is it's already warm.
You can skip that process.
Right. Now, the disadvantage of what's going on right now is how wet everything is. So those root balls are pretty heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have... It's going to be a little dirtier, so you're going to have to have something to take it in the house that's clean.
And then some good beer-drinking buddies to help you get it to the spot.
You're going to have somebody. Somebody's going to have to help you move a tree, because a 5 to 6 foot tall tree is going to weigh a couple hundred pounds right now.
I'm not coming over to help you unless you have a beer and a sandwich for me.
Hey, whatever you need.
That's it.
I know. It's all about the food and the drink with you, isn't it?
That's right. It's food and the drink.
So you have your tree. You take it in the house. You usually don't want to keep it in 10 days is usually the number we like. 14 days can be done, but you're pushing it.
Ooh.
You are, I know, you're at that max level. But remember, 14 days from now, we may be back down to 18 degrees.
Exactly. See? Which I would encourage you to dig your hole now.
Yep.
And take that soil and put it in a big wash tub, bring it into the garage.
The wheelbarrow. You can leave in your wheelbarrow as long as it's warm.
Leave in the wheelbarrow and let it dry out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it will be pliable and easy to work with when you go back outside to plant that tree.
Right.
And if, in fact, it's cold.
And then that's when you also want to get a little bag of mulch and a little bit of compost manure or some peat moss right now and make sure it's thawed. So when you go to plant your tree after Christmas, you can go ahead and finish it up and you want to mulch it. Now, if it has a wire basket, it has strings, it has burlap, you're leaving everything on it while you're moving in and out of the house. You're not taking a single thing off. The only thing you're taking off is strings that are holding the tree up.
Right.
So leave all that on there. Leave that on there to move it out of the house. If it's really cold, acclimate it one more time. You know, take it out to the garage for a day or two. And then when you plant it like you normally would. And you'll have great success.
All right. There you have it. Bob telling you how to bring that tree in, the live tree that's bald and burlapped, and take it back out. We got to take another quick break. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony Works. And when we come back, hey, I want to know what are some of your favorite Christmas movies or shows.
You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WUBE Cincinnati.
Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony Works, and we've just been talking about a lot of things this morning, covering a lot of ground. We talked a lot about landscaping and designing some things, and taking a few calls. And real quick, you know, it's the holiday season, Bob. We're right around the corner from the big day,
mm-hmm.
the 24th and the 25th. And right now, you know, you're seeing a lot of Christmas shows on TV, Christmas movies, and last night, as a matter of fact, Tina and I watched It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, did you really?
She loves
Jimmy Stewart. You're also a Hallmark Channel guy, aren't you?
Oh, every bit of it.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
You're such a sentimental guy.
The only time I have to watch something that would be Hallmark related, and it's a holiday show, and I you can ask Tina, I don't know how many times I would walk into the room and she's watching Love Actually.
Oh, my mom loves that one. Loves
that
movie.
That's a chick movie all
I bet my mom watched it 20 times.
And I guess, I don't know if Hugh Grant's the big attraction there. But, that, you know, it is a good movie. It's one of the popular movies.
My wife and daughter love, and my son too, they love the Hallmark Channel. I mean, that's on all the time this time of year. And it's not that I don't like it, but I walk in, and in 4 minutes, I go, okay, she's going to dump him, fall in love with him, and that's the story.
Man.
And that cold, it's like Scrooge. I can't believe I'm that way.
Wow. Yeah.
No.
You're Scrooge.
I'm disappointed in myself. But I do love certain Christmas movies.
Which one? What's your favorite?
Well, my absolute favorite movie, it's almost 30 years old, I can't believe it, is Christmas Vacation.
I agree.
Clark Griswold.
That's a great one.
I mean, I mean, I use lines all the time. I mean, it's just the gift that keeps on giving all year.
And is it Julia Dreyfus?
Uh-huh. Julia Louise Dreyfus.
Yeah, and she's like, I hope he breaks his neck.
Yeah, exactly.
I love those one-liners, you know, when Clark was out there trying to put all those lights up on the ladder. I hope he breaks his freaking neck.
Oh, man, I love the RV. Well, Clark, don't you be eyeing that. That's mine, and I'll be taking it with me when I leave next month.
Yeah, yeah, he got choked, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, where can you find Cousin Eddie's outfit? You know, he's got the white turtleneck on. No, he's got the white sweater on.
What do they call them?
A black dickie underneath?
Yeah, underneath, yeah.
Yeah, how tacky. And
you could wear that. You could pull that off.
I could pull that off.
Yeah.
But I would need those green action slacks.
Oh, those are hot.
Polyester with the white dress shoes.
Yeah. Huh? That's another whole topic. We'll talk about some of your best dress that you used to do back in the day.
So one of my favorites, too, is How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yeah, we just talked about this.
Yeah.
I love that, and I love the one with Jim Carrey. I think it came out in like 2000. I still like that one. Mm-hmm. I think that one's entertaining in its own way. But, you know, if you're an originalist, you like the original. You won't like Jim Carrey's as much. But, you know, I like them both.
I like them both. I look at them both totally different. You know, A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Little Ralphie.
Can you believe that came out in 1993 or 83? I thought that was older than that.
Yeah, you would think that.
Yeah.
But no. And that was really a low budget Christmas show to begin
so,
with.
So one I really like, and they show all three of them because there's three of them with Tim Allen, the Santa Claus movies.
You
and
like
specifically
those?
The first one. I love the first one. The second one gets a little cheesy. The third one really pushes it a little bit too far with Jack Frost and everything else, you know, and the commercialism. But the very first original Santa Claus, the movie, I saw that in theaters. We went and took the kids.
I didn't take the kids. My wife and I went and saw it. I've never watched it through its entirety, bits and pieces.
Oh, I love it.
So I could take it or leave it.
Helps me answer a lot of questions with Santa and how he does everything. I love it. Love it.
Interesting. Yeah. What about Miracle on 34th Street?
Yeah, I like it. It's just a classic.
It's a classic.
Yeah, it's just a classic. You know, one I didn't even know was considered a Christmas movie, and I'm so disappointed in myself because I love the movie, was Die Hard. Did you know that's considered a Christmas movie? You know, but they had the Christmas party in the towers when they came to attack it. So when they came to attack it. You know, another one I really like is Elf. Have you seen Elf?
No.
See, I think that's a generation where you and I, we're close in age, but we're not exact. See, I think that's the one I love.
Oh, what's his name? It started
Will Ferrell.
Yeah, you know it.
He's got a cannon. Did you see him throw the snowballs? I mean, he's got a cannon.
He doesn't. I don't think Will Ferrell's that funny. To a degree. Certain things.
You got to be in the mood to watch it.
I thought it was better on Saturday Night Live. Interesting. But, you know, there's a lot of great Christmas shows out there. And I would just, you know, Frosty.
Yeah.
Boy, when Frosty melted in the greenhouse.
Did you cry?
Yeah. It was just like, oh, gosh. But don't worry. He'll be back again someday. And, you know, you'd watch it next year.
So I got a trivia question for you. What is the best Christmas movie or the most watched? I forget how it is, but for the state of Ohio, because each state kind of had a Christmas movie that supposedly, I think they based on how many were sold or how much it's watched, but Ohio has it.
And this was a good movie, Home Alone.
It was.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
And Joe Pesci and what's his name? I forget the other guy. They were, it was just hysterical.
Joe Pesci's always good in movies.
That's a classic.
That's a classic.
But can you believe that thing came out in 1990? And I apologize if I'm making some of you feel really old that are listening today, because I'm looking at some of the age of these movies. I'm like, I remember these.
Isn't that when you graduated?
No, 92.
92. Yeah. Youngster.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
But, you know, Christmas Vacation to me is the ultimate classic. But, I mean, I love Polar Express. I mean, we usually sit down and we try to watch Christmas movies this time.
Got it.
It's just great.
You know, I also want to ask you, do you have any favorite family Christmas moments or anything that you really remember as a child that's kind of funny today? Because I can tell you some funny things when I was growing up.
Well, one time, we always did a gift exchange and I got forgotten one year.
That doesn't surprise me.
I know. And then there was one time where I was a little kid and I wanted a specific toy. It was a semi truck and it wasn't a transformer, but it did some action stuff. And, Santa didn't bring it. Mom and Dad didn't get it for me. And Christmas night, we always went to my grandma's. I mean, my Christmas was ruined because I didn't get this toy. You know, I'm a little kid. Well, grandma got it for me.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, man, you talk about making my day. I mean, I went from the saddest little boy to on cloud nine.
Is your grandmother still with you?
No, they're gone. I mean, we just had great memories.
But those are the memories. That's what it's all about.
Yep. I mean, we just did that.
You'll never forget that.
Christmas Eve was always at mom and our grandma and grandpa's. And, you know, we still do some things with my family. We have some traditions. But, you know, there's just neat things that we always did together. You know,
listen to this one. When I was a kid, we lived in a little straight shotgun kind of house. We didn't have a fireplace. And every year, my dad would take me down to Scanlon's. Remember Scanlon's? Or do you ever heard of Scanlon's? It was down on Madison Avenue in Covington.
Okay.
And we would buy a faux cardboard fireplace.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And he'd whip that thing into shape. So we had this cardboard fireplace.
Yeah.
It had a fake wood thing in it, and it had a little flicker light.
Just to help give a place for Santa to come.
Yeah, Santa had to come down a chimney somewhere.
Yeah.
But I remember that to this day. We would get one every year. Now that I look back, it's like, Dad, why didn't you just save that? You wouldn't have to get it again next year.
Yeah, just save it. That's true.
Put it out. Take it out. Take that fireplace out in the garage.
That's a good memory.
Yeah.
That's a good memory.
And, you know, the old balsam tree that we would decorate and put those old C7s on it. And that's the tree that I still decorate with today.
Do you?
And
how many ornaments do you get out of the box? And it just brings back so many memories. Like this year, even for me, looking at the ornaments that my grandma either made or, you know, special ornaments that I got for certain things in,
well, you're
in life.
Really, now, you're really digging into the archives there. Yeah. I would have to go to my parents' house and root through that stuff.
My mom gave us, all us boys, because I've got two brothers, we each got our ornaments. She finally went through and she gave it to us. One Christmas, she wrapped them up in a box, which was really kind of cool. You know, and I still look at those today, and it just makes me think of my grandparents who have passed on and all the good memories that we had.
That's why the Christmas holiday season is so important to all of us.
It is.
And don't hold grudges. Get with family and friends and make them memorable moments. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony Works. When we come back, we're going to touch again on something we talked about last week. If you're looking for some gifts for for the gardener, we'll tell you what you might want to look for, and we'll let you decide.
If anybody's got any great ideas, please share, because we're at crunch time. 9 to 10 days till Christmas. Some people are having their parties this weekend. They need some ideas. So if there's people out there that got some great ideas for gardening, we want to hear about it.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WUBE Cincinnati.
Fond Christmas movies and shows that we like to watch.
Could jam that one right there. That tune right there. That one could play the whole song. I'd be fine with it.
Like it. And a great way to stay in touch with us is via our Facebook page. Feel free to go out there and ask us questions. We'll definitely get back with you. Also, you can email us at inandaroundthehouse@b105.com. And if you want to catch a past show, Alex will be so kind to keep the podcast up and running. And you can certainly do that if you want to listen to a past show. And this would be our last show before we go into the holiday season, and we'll definitely be back talking more gardening in 2019. We have a lot to bring you, especially with new plant varieties, shrubs, and trees that may be of interest to you in and around your landscape. And before we went into the break, I mentioned, Bob, that I wanted to touch a little bit about some last-minute Christmas gifts, especially for the avid gardener or the novice gardener in the family. And one that we talked about a lot last week were hand pruners. I can't say how important a nice pair of hand pruners can be for the gardener.
Yes, it absolutely is. And, you know, we talked about it last week. We're going to talk about it again. Felco makes an incredible one. They fit your hand well. If you got lefties, they make lefties. They make, you know, more selective pruners. There's a lot of variety, but the old Felco number 2, you just need to buy a nice set of pruners for somebody. Felco number 2s is the way to go.
And if you do that, buy a leather holster that just easily can be clipped onto the side of the waist of the pants, or you can slip your belt through it. That way, if you're like me, I have a disease called carryitis. I will carry something off and set it down and forget where I left it. So carryitis, you don't want. You got the holster. You'll never leave your pruners somewhere where you don't want to leave them.
Exactly.
So or lose them. That's what's important. Any of the gardening hand tools, hand trowels, cultivating tools, I think are good gifts.
Great weeders, you know, things like that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, one that I talked about a few years ago, as I dug this out and I'm thinking about it, I don't know how in the heck you would wrap it and put it underneath the tree, but it was a rain barrel.
You know
that
what?
That would take a lot of paper, bro.
That would take a lot of paper. That might just be one of those bags. You know, go get you one of those plastic bags and put a bow on it.
Come here, walk out to the garage. I got something to show you. Maybe something like that. But there was one that I really liked a lot, you know, and when it gets hot in the summer months and what rain we do get, if you have a rain barrel, I don't think there's any better water other than rain when it really comes to watering plants. There's something about the natural rainfall that is such a huge benefit.
Look what it does for the grass at certain times.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden you get one rain compared to, you know, what we run through the hose and how much different it looks.
Yeah. Do you remember the Earth Minded rain barrel? Actually, I think they were manufactured somewhere down in Kentucky, but they were easy to install. You just simply would drill a hole in the downspout and you could insert what they called a flex fit diverter.
Mm-hmm.
And once the rain barrel would fill up, you didn't have to switch a diverter to go to
the... It just did it for you?
It did it for you automatically.
Nice.
And it came with hoses, it had the plugs and so forth, and all the fittings were brass.
Yeah.
And it was a very
last.
Nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What else comes to mind?
Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to look at buying some actual tools, you know, you're going to buy, sometimes even for those maybe they're not able to hold a real heavy chainsaw, sometimes the little electric chainsaws work pretty good. You know, obviously, you have to be careful. They're lightweight. They still cut pretty well. They're not going to cut down massive trees. Hey. But if somebody has to clean up a lot of debris, mm-hmm. that might be a good one for them.
And they always start.
They always start. You know, the cordless power tools, you know, the battery powered ones, you know, blowers, trimmers, you know, those are really lightweight and convenient because they hang and they store very easily. You know, and let's face it, every time you're mowing the grass, I mean, I fire up my blower all the time.
Right.
And I do have an electric weed eater now. And just how nice it is to go grab it, and it just goes.
Also,
what about phone cords or anything?
It will hold the charge long enough, and it's got enough power.
And mine's not even that good, and it's still, it was a cheaper one. And I don't have a lot to string trim, but if I already have kind of things cleaned out and I'm just kind of cleaning up, I can run my driveway, I can run my sidewalk, I can run my fence all in one charge.
Got it.
You know, and that's kind of nice, but they're lightweight. So, you know, if one, you don't want to carry a big old heavy string trimmer around, you can get, you know, one of the battery powered one, and they're a lot lighter.
And plus, it's good for the environment,
mm-hmm.
less pollution. I like it. You know, what about something that's kind of weather related? You can buy those little weather stations that give you the wind, the temperature.
I used to have a couple
rain
of those.
Gauge.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
I loved them. I would go look at it every morning.
I
love a good rain gauge. You know, it doesn't. There's sometimes just the cheap $5.99 ones are great.
Mm-hmm.
You can't leave them out in the winter because they all break.
Right.
But there's also some really cool ones that have some solar lights on them. You know, where they just get the sun, bake on it all day, charge the battery, and then they glow at night. You know, something like that in the garden really looks nice.
I like it. You know,
gazing balls. Remember?
Yeah.
So you know, those are kind of bad.
I'm with you. You know, I always have to go to the gardening books. I like books. You know, one I didn't talk about last week, I think is a must have, especially for the tree enthusiast,
mm-hmm.
Michael Durr's Woody Manual for Trees and Shrubs. That's a great book. That's the Bible.
You know,
I know you have one of those at the garden center.
I don't know if I have that one or not, because I have a couple of what they call encyclopedias of plants and stuff like that. And I have my dad actually has it in his desk, but it's my grandpa's, and it was published in 1932. You know, mm-hmm. it's an encyclopedia. It has so much information. But, you know, there's some really good ones out there. I know what you're talking about. And
the other one, somebody had contacted us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We had mentioned it last week. A must-have if you're a novice or the avid gardener when it comes to perennials, Tracy DeSabato Ost. She's the author of The Well-Tended Perennial Garden.
Yeah.
That is a great, great perennial source to go to.
And all these books are just great resources to find the right plant for your area because, you know, they'll list the problems. They'll list the pluses. They'll list what the plant does. They'll list the size. All the information you could possibly need, you know. So if you like to kind of research it yourself, those are great tools to get. And somebody who's a gardener would love that.
Definitely. All right, we got to take another quick break, and we're going to talk about things that you can do around town because I made a little road trip the other day and actually shared some photographs of a wonderful gym that is in our own backyard here in the Cincinnati area. And you're going to like it because it's a must visit every year, and it never gets old to visit the Crone. And we'll talk more about it when we come back. 749-B105 with Tony Works.
You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WUBE Cincinnati.
And I guess the good thing is it's not the white stuff. The bad news is, you know, we have pretty much ample moisture in the ground. So you can't have it all and, you know, eat your cake too, right, Bob?
No.
You just can't.
It's going to be a little moist on and off all day. There's going to be times, periods of showers.
But mild.
But it's 50 degrees, it says, or 49 outside. It's supposed to say in the upper 50s. Then tomorrow is supposed to be partly sunny and upper 50s.
There you go.
Then we get into Monday, we cool down maybe into the 40s, but it's supposed to be sunny. And let's face it, you know, 40 degrees and sunny. I mean, it's funny how things are relative because if in the middle of summer it's 48 degrees, we're going to be cold. We're putting on jeans and a sweatshirt. And then yesterday morning I came from the gym and I left my shorts and t-shirt on and just walked outside.
You're bad. That's all I can say.
I know, but it wasn't that cold.
You're a bad dude.
So it wasn't cold. So it was kind of nice to just be there.
But I like these temperatures, especially, you know, it's not hard on some of our plants. So especially if you planted things this fall, too. You know, the ground's warm. We're getting a lot of activity under the soil surface. So it's been a good thing.
And if you've been lazy like me and you didn't get everything done,
you might be able to sneak it in.
You've been blessed with another nice weekend to get stuff done.
But I bet most people are shopping. However, with today's rain in the forecast, I think it lends itself to doing some things inside. And the other day, I did a little road trip.
Yeah.
And along that road trip, the route, I stopped at the museum center.
Yeah.
Nicely done over there. I mean, they've really refurbished it. You can see a lot of the things that they had done, especially outside on the facade of the museum center.
Mm-hmm.
The old train station. But you can definitely take in the train display there, amongst other things. They have the public landing display and the Lego block display. And
yep.
A lot of kids were having a good time.
Oh, I bet they were.
They were. They were having a great time. And the train display is definitely well worth seeing. That is one that most of us who are older remember from years ago when it was down on 4th and Main Street at the Cincinnati Gas and Electric, and when it was in the lobby.
Yep.
And that thing was bigger than life. So take in the museum center. That would be a good thing to do today. Also, on my stop the other day was the Crone Conservatory.
And the picture's on Facebook. If you haven't been, you need to go. The Crone Conservatory, incredible. The color of the poinsettias, you know, all the train displays, not to mention just all the architectural artwork from, you know,
the building landmarks of Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And they're all done by hand with natural things.
Incredible. Just the detail. And it's just incredible. You know, what a sight to see. And you know, and then they have the live nativity scene. You know, there's so much to see. It's just, and the Facebook, you really did a good job of putting some pictures up so people can see it. But I think the pictures just don't do it justice. You need to
have to see it. And you know, the nativity scene, I remember vividly because they always would have live animals. And that was like bigger than life when you're a little kid when you see that.
Well,
and I remember going down there with my parents. And, you know, you talk about those memories, you know. And this is one of those things that we would go to, you know, year after year when I was little. And it was just, to me, it's so enjoyable to go back. And it reminds me of my childhood.
Well, and there's so much plant vegetation to see
right.
in the Crone Conservatory. I mean, if you even look at the pictures and you'll see the junipers and some of the evergreens and some of the ferns. You know, and there's so much to see.
The poinsettia tree that they did was so nice.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
You know, and then they do have all the train displays, you know, the giant suspension bridge look alive. I mean, there's just, you know, the Great American Building that's in there. I mean, people need to go to the Facebook page, like the Facebook page, you know, join up because they can really, connect with us and the show, you know, but they can see some of the cool things. And you know, there's still time to go see this. This is a cool display.
Absolutely.
And it's well worthwhile.
And, you know, in addition to the photographs, we had a couple of nice posts in relation to the nativity scene. And, you know, I don't know all the history behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I don't butcher anyone's name. But Rob Sheeman, he had written something. He had posted, "It's amazing to think the same family has been doing this for nearly 80 years, setting up the nativity set, the display. Thank you, Western and Southern, Jerry and Judy McGee Bidenhorn, I hope I pronounced that correctly, and Jody Ann Bidenhorn for such a wonderful family tradition and gift to the city."
Yeah, and that's a lot of work that they do.
It's a lot of work
that they sacrifice their time and energy for everybody to be a part of.
And what I like about this medium of staying in touch with the community, and this is so important, you know, and that's why local things are so important to me. Judy McGee Bidenhorn responded. She had thanked Rob Sheeman for the nice comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who Jerry's dad is, but Andy Bidenhorn, they built the first crib for the nativity set over in Lytle Park in 1939. So I guess that's where that first started out.
Really?
1939.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of information and sharing things with us on Facebook that just makes you feel warm inside. It said that Jerry first started working on the crib when he was 15 years old in 1958. This year is his 60th year. He's an old man, but thanks for doing this.
That's incredible. That's and this is the part that, you know, we always get talking about the gifts and everything that goes on, but really the true meaning of this season, And, you know, and I mean, B105 did an incredible job with their toy drive getting, I heard Big Dave's last number talking about over 11,000 toys to give to children.
For the Toys for Tots. Yeah. 11. Great.
You know,
great program.
I mean, and you see this and you just see these people donating their time and energy, you know, just to help out. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the things that are important. And I know they're important to you. You know my family and how we are. You know, the gifts and all that are great, but it's not about that.
No, it's not about that. No, it's about family and friends and being connected. Mm-hmm. You know, and real quick too, have you ever been over on Madison Avenue in Covington, Kentucky and seen the working elves in the window at Sims Furniture? That's a great place to take the little ones.
Really?
Oh, it's awesome.
Elf there?
There's little elves all through the window displays, and they're animated and mechanical, and they're all moving, and the kids will love it. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony Works. When we come back, Bob wants to tell us some of the last-minute things that you can do to clean out those areas if you're near the woodland part of the yard, or some things you
can
still do.
Good time to do it.
Good time to do it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WUBE Cincinnati.
There's your theme song.
That's my theme song right there.
Yep.
And it is pouring down outside. And
it is
rest
right
assured,
now.
We'll probably see this for the most part throughout the day. I guess the bright side of things, if there is a bright side, that the temperatures are relatively mild, upper 40s. Tomorrow we'll probably hit 50 or just a smidge above. And I don't know, probably some people want to see snow, but I don't. And
I don't know when I'll see snow.
There you go.
There you go.
What do you think, Bob? Are you in favor of rain or snow?
I am it would probably in favor be a lot of 70 degrees and sunny, but we're not going to get that.
And the diamond shovel in your
hand. I would be perfectly fine with Aruba weather, where it doesn't change from 73 to like 86.
Well, lasso it up and bring it north. That's all I can say and suggest to you.
If it brings climate change and that's what we get, I'm all good.
There you go.
I like a little snow. I mean, not Christmas time, before a little Christmas. Light snow. Yeah. Nothing that I got to go out and plow, because let's face it, there's nothing worse than having to be out on Christmas night because the store's open Christmas Day and I got to get out in the park.
Or the day after. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So before we went into the break, what are some things that you want to encourage homeowners to do? If they have, provided you have all of your shopping done, which I would suspect most people do not.
I'm pretty close. I finished last night almost everything, so I got a couple things to get.
And, you know, Christmas is right around the corner. It will be here before you know it. Is it next Thursday, the 21st? Is that correct?
Yeah, no.
That's when
Friday's the 21st.
Or Friday's the 21st. That's when the first day of winter ushers itself in.
That's right. But you know what the good news about that day is?
Shortest day of the year.
Yeah, and from there on out, we start getting longer days again.
Right.
Bring it on.
So that's encouraging.
That's right.
It's good to know. All right.
But, you know, there was something I want to talk about that, I really wanted to talk about last week, but we didn't get to it just because the show and calls and different things. You know, this is a great time of year. If you've got a lot of wild honeysuckle in an area you need to clear out, you want to kind of clear some woods, this is not a bad time to get out, other than it's a little wet today. But, you know, if you can get there and not tear up turf, there's a few benefits because you can see where all the honeysuckle are. You can kind of see through it. So, you know, if there's like a view you want to open up from your house down to the valley of a creek or something,
right?
You know, you can kind of see it. It makes it easier to chainsaw. You're not going to be able to put like a, you know, a stump killer or anything like that on right now, you know, to try to help kill everything. But you can start clearing out some of that honeysuckle. And the big advantage is also if you're filling up your truck full of debris to go haul away, you can put a lot more in it because you don't have all the leaves you're working with right now either. And, you know, you can like even looking out the studio now over at that kind of natural area, you know, there's a ton of honeysuckle in there, you know. If somebody had a view and they wanted to open it up, this would be a great time to chainsaw some stuff down, maybe a little stump grind in there, take some things out, but just open up those woods.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this time of year, if you're able to do it, or even if it's late winter, early spring,
it could be January,
still
February.
Able to do it, take advantage of some of those nicer days or warmer days and do that, because without the foliage, I think you really get a great representation of what you're working with and trying to remove or what you're trying
to
keep.
Absolutely. If you need to cut some paths, because, you know, that's kind of an area where, you know, you walk through or, you know, you want to open up an area to make a real natural, maybe a campfire somewhere out in the woods or something like that. This is a great time of year because you can literally see where every honeysuckle, where all the trees are. and you can really start to open some things up, you know. And if you want to do it, but you're not capable, call a tree service. You know, they'll be more than happy to help you this time of year because it's easier for them too. I mean, when they're dragging stuff out and
right.
you know, there's no leaves or anything that they have to deal with, it's easier for them. And, you know, they'd love the work in the winter.
It's nice to do a little clearing like that. And then when you get it just gives you a better visualization of the yard.
Right.
And some of those things you want to do and incorporating some of those little outdoor spaces or those rooms or maybe an area that, you know, you were talking about a pathway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see a pathway somewhere, I mean, just like when you were a kid, it would make you want to follow it. Just like if you're walking a trail, a nature trail of some sort, right. It makes you want to follow
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And it may be something as simple, like we did a job the other day. We just cut the honeysuckle back about 10 feet. You know, we left a lot of it,
right.
but he wanted a little more yard space
right.
is what he wanted. Now, we got into the point to where, okay, do we go ahead and throw grass seed down and after we clear everything out? Or do we just leave it dirt? Everybody has an opinion. My opinion was, let's go ahead and throw some seed and straw down. I know it's probably going to lose. Some of the seed's just going to rot. It's just not going to take. You might get a little bit. But at least I can use the straw to keep the erosion down, keep it from being muddy because he had some dogs. So that'll help
right.
keep that a little bit drier so the dogs aren't covered. You know. And then we did do some landscaping in a dry creek with it as well. But in a certain area... I think go ahead and if you do it and you need to, go ahead and throw the seed and straw down. You're probably going to lose some. You might have to come back and do it in the spring again, but I think it's worth it.
I do too. You know, what's your flair or what's your take on some of those products that you can just like roll out? They're like mats. They might be 3 to 4 foot wide, 5 foot wide.
Like a straw mat?
Straw mat. Yeah. Do you find those beneficial? And are those straw mats that contain seed? I've seen some jobs where they've used that. It seems like things start to germinate in that particular mat, then yeah. all of a sudden it just gets dry and goes by the wayside.
I personally don't like the seed in the mat. I like the straw mats, especially on a hillside right. or if you're in an area where there's high wind and you don't want your straw to blow everywhere. They make a straw mat. Now they'll be probably closer to 8 to 10 foot wide, most
right.
of them. You know, they're convenient. We use those especially. We did a swimming pool last winter. And they didn't want the straw all over everything. And it comes with an erosion net basically with it. So you just roll it out.
Now, you just touched on something that bothers me about some of those products. How quickly does that nylon like material break down?
I like to pull it out.
That's what I don't care about. So
we did two jobs with it. And we actually, after the grass grew, and once mm-hmm. it got to a certain point, I told the homeowner, I will come and I will rip out as much of that as I can.
Right.
And we know we tore up a little turf, but then what I would do is I'd go back and overseed immediately, right over top. And it came
well. Well, that netting left out that easily? I mean,
if you wait too long, no. But if you get it at the right stage, you know, depending on the temperatures, you know, it could be 3 weeks, could be 4 weeks, could be, you know, all winter. But eventually, yeah, if it does come out. It's not easy, but
I don't like. I just don't like to fight it. So
I'd rather just use regular straw.
I'm with you. That's why I asked you, what's your flair? Mm-hmm. We have Kurt and Sue with us on the line. Good morning, Kurt. How are you? Or is this Sue?
Hey, Tony. How are you?
I am doing well, and Merry Christmas to both you and Sue. I thought that's who this was.
Merry Christmas. Sue's got something to ask you.
She's trying to get rid of an unexpected visitor. Is that a family member? I'm just kidding.
It's not a family member. He just showed up.
Who's our visitor?
The mole.
Oh.
Wow. So you're still having issues with the moles?
Yeah.
Wow. You know what? Stop by the store. I'd like to see you one more time before the holiday season, if at all possible.
Yeah, we were planning on maybe this week.
I will loan you a mole trap. How's that?
Yeah, but then I'm going to have to take it and throw it away. I can only do so much, Tony.
It's part of it. You know, I hear a lot of people say that, Sue, that it's like, once I catch him, what do I do with him? You know, just throw him away. Get rid of him. So that's the best way to go after him, Sue, is with the trap. Are you seeing any mole activity right now, or have you, or anyone talked about it?
They're still out there, but I'm not seeing what I saw last fall.
Right.
Or this spring. This spring was crazy.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But if you stop by the store, I would be more than happy to loan you a trap. And you just have to check it out, just like a library book. Just kidding.
Okay.
I when I loan things out, if I don't write it down, inevitably it never resurfaces or comes back, and I forget who I loan things to.
Well,
but
yeah,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I understand that.
No, I'm just saying, whenever you loan something out, it never comes back, you know, or it's never the same.
Has Sue, have you tried the worms that where you stick down in the tunnels?
You know, I can only do so much. I have caught some mice that I had never done before in my whole life, but that's, you know, a three glove and put it in a bag and, oh, no.
Three glove?
They make some traps where you don't even have to touch them.
Yeah, well, they don't work real well.
You know, have you ever, Bob, tried spearmint or peppermint as a deterrent for mice?
No.
I'm telling you, it works.
Does it really?
It really does. It works. Okay. Yes.
Never tried it.
A lot of people will use it. They're little, like, packets. They'll usually, when they winterize their boats or their RVs and campers and so forth, they'll put those in.
I thought you were going to tell me you put juicy fruit in the ground for the
no.
Boys. I thought that's where you were going with this one.
No.
That's my favorite. Juicy fruit.
Juicy fruit. No. No. I trap. And, Sue, that's what I would encourage you to do. So, if you and Kirk get a chance to stop by, we'd love to see you before the holidays, and good to hear from you.
Okay, what day are you off this week?
I will probably take off Monday.
Monday, okay.
So anytime after Monday, I'll be around.
All right. Sounds good, Tony. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to everybody who's listening.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Great customers right there. See,
she doesn't want to touch the mold, does she?
No. And,
22. Get a 22. Leave it in there.
You know, customers, Kurt and Sue, and sometimes in the past, they've brought me over fillets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just out of nowhere. And isn't that nice?
It is. I've got great customers, too.
Yeah. I've
got a gentleman, and he makes a cinnamon bread. Oh, he brings it, and I'll tell you what, I don't get to take it home because everybody at the store eats it. It's just wonderful. Dave brings that in. He is just a great guy and been a customer for years, and you know, he brings me one of those every once in a while, about two or three times a year, and it's the best.
You know, that's one of those, you know, it's probably one of the biggest benefits, I have to say, when I left, you know, the kind of like the corporate world and sitting at the desk in the cubicle and started working with my father again. Just the people that I have met that you become friends with, and it's so special. And get this one. I got to tell you about a cheesecake that Janet Willenborg brought to me when she came to one of our classes.
Well, that was nice of you to save me a piece.
Nice
I
piece
appreciate
of cheese.
That.
Now, I'm not a big sweets or dessert person, but cheesecake, I can probably have a little too much, and you feel it in the old tummies. Like, I think I ate too much of that cheesecake.
Well, you know, but, I mean, there's so much
you can
out
never
there.
Eat too much cheesecake.
I don't know. I might disagree with you on that.
All right. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony Works.
You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WUBE Cincinnati.
By the fire together.
I'll have a Manhattan or a little bourbon.
Yeah.
But Tina will have wine. I'm not a, you know, I like wine, but I'm not a big wine drinker.
Okay. I didn't know if you two kind of sit by, you know. Elizabeth, you know me, I'm not a drinker, so I'll have my vitamin water or my smart water. You know, we'll sit by the tree and watch
it. That's why I want to hang out with you, because I'll always have a DD. I'll have a dedicated driver.
You'll always have. I will be that guy.
I know that. So that's a good thing.
I am that guy for sure.
Be responsible this holiday, that's for sure.
Definitely.
And Uber is an easy way to get home. So don't try and dial in and open up that car door with the key and unlock it.
Don't have too much pride that, I can drive. I can drive. Just give the keys to somebody
else.
That's right. You know,
and
be safe.
Be safe. That's what's important. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about some landscaping and so forth. And I have a question for you. You know, I have some ideas about some various things down in my backyard. I'm not finished. It's still a work in progress. And I don't want it to sound like, oh, this is all about my backyard, because it isn't. But I'm just like anyone else. You know, I'm considering certain things. And there's things that's like, oh, I'm really interested in this, but I don't know if I want to do it. Maybe this, because I have a lot of different interests and likes. And now, you know, even going, we talked a little bit the other day, Bob, about natives, you know, and pollinators and various things like that. And, you know, those things interest me more than ever before.
Very difficult sometimes to find good native.
It is.
Good native plants.
Exactly.
I mean, it is. But you can find, you know, representations of those.
Right.
You know, like viburnum. You know, viburnum are native.
Right.
But the varieties you're going to buy in the garden center aren't necessarily.
But for the most part, I mean, they do their thing. They're not invasive
right.
that I know of. Exactly. So that's a good thing. That's you know, even a burning bush in some areas is an invasive species.
There's some places where they say the bird eats the, you know, some of the berries and,
right, the droops,
and their droppings right, and then right. the seeds don't digest and then they grow.
And I've seen some volunteer, you know, burning bushes along Old Taylor Mill Road. Sure. And when I read that one day, I was like, whoa. And then I happened to see a few when they turned red.
And they're there.
There they are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but the tiger eyes.
Mm-hmm. I know where you're going.
Sumac, I want to ask you about this. I love the foliage of this
cool plant.
Mm-hmm. And also, so I want to plant a grouping of those and underneath it down low. Now, I have somewhat of a hillside. Mm-hmm. I'm looking to hold things in with grow low sumac.
Yes.
Okay.
So the tiger eyes sumac and the grow low. Those are the two.
That combination.
Okay.
Now, for me, the grow low, you get that nice orange reddish color in the fall. Mm-hmm. Kind of a wild look, but it also, it's great for erosion control.
It is.
It's a tough animal all the way around. So it gives you performance, mm-hmm. you know, if you're looking for certain things. But I want to plant that underneath the tiger eyes sumac. But
is that chartreuse color, kind of yellowy gold?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something that we were talking about the other day, and I've never grown it nor really talked about this. Does it sucker?
It does.
Does it spread?
Can.
Is it?
Yes, it can sucker occasionally and shoot some little suckers out of a root. It's not bad. It's pretty easy to keep under control, but yes, it can do that.
I just want to make sure it's not a bully.
It's not a bully. What's really cool about it, though, is it says full to part shade.
Mm-hmm.
It can tolerate a lot of shade.
Mm-hmm.
It gets bushy. But if you trim it, if you get in there and you really do some selective pruning, and unfortunately
right.
we don't have time to talk about selective pruning, that's something for another show. But if you get in there and you really prune this one the right way, the tiger eye sumac is a really, really neat plant.
I love the plant. And
it says 3 to 6 foot high. It's going to be 5 to 6, 7, and I've seen them stretch a little bit. This is one of those where it can get, if it's in the right spot, it'll be happy. But it's easy to trim.
But as long as it's not, you know, invasive in such a way or a bully in such a way, it starts growing up in between the grow low.
No, I don't think it should
do that. But I will pull it back and, you know, enough to where you get the effect.
It's a slow spread by sucker.
Okay.
It's slow, but it's not aggressive by any means whatsoever. Let's put it that way. Not aggressive.
Someone else was telling me that it was. And I'm like, you know what? I've really never talked to anybody in any great detail. How aggressive is it or it isn't?
We had it on the side of the building for about 10 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I watched this thing grow. It was behind a blue spruce with some hydrangeas. We ended up taking it out to do a little display there. But for 10 years, it was about as easy as it would grow. We didn't do much with it. It was really easy, but it did not take over the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It got big in the spot that it was, and then there were some little suckers starting from it. But I wouldn't classify it as aggressive. Like,
good.
You're not going to see it grow 2 feet away from you in a year.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've heard different things. And mm-hmm. it's like, you know, I've never really grown this or really seen it in a landscape where it's been around for a while and established.
I can say I don't think I ever sprayed it. I ever had any issues with it in the 10 years other than trimming and a little fertilization is all I did on that thing. It was an easy plant.
Good enough.
But, you know, there's some last-minute things, and we're getting late in the show, so, I mean, we're not going to be able to cover everything. But, you know, if you got some of the – we touched earlier about it in the show. If you've got some evergreens you want to kind of shape up a little bit, sure not going to hurt anything to get out there and clean up some boxwoods or some taxus or some arborvita. You know, the flowering shrubs, if you have to prune them, we do – I shouldn't speak for you, but I do not recommend pruning a lot of the flowering shrubs.
No, not the spring flowering shrubs. No, unless – what you said earlier, if you're willing to sacrifice some bloom to get it back into shape, which I think is more important than the bloom,
I agree.
In my eyes.
So what we're saying is, yes, let's say you have a lilac that has it's a little stringy. I think you're better off to go ahead and give it a little bit of a prune now, even though you're cutting off some of the blooms, than to wait until next year and give it a butcher. Because I personally would rather have a healthy, good-looking, shapely plant then worry about the bloom.
Because that will come later.
And if you have a healthy plant, the blooms are going to be more profuse later.
Absolutely.
So You know, there are some things like some viburnum, some burning bush. You know, if you want to shape some of those things up, I'm fine with it. The ornamental grasses, I want them to be brown. When they're brown, cut them down on the ornamental grasses.
Yeah, I thought about that the other day. I was just looking at mine, and it would benefit me to cut mine back because mine are near the end of the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of a hindrance, you know, when I back out, I have to be cautious, you know, seeing if traffic's coming down the street.
Sure.
But at the same token, I also, you know, I know that I have the option of cutting it back to around 4-6 inches, or I can leave it go and create that winter interest in the landscape, so to speak.
I just like for that energy to get down.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. But don't you like the energy to go all the way down and let it turn brown and get dormant on your grasses before you cut them?
Well, my miscanthus are already, they're brown.
Yeah, so you can cut those.
They're ready to go. But like you said the other day, my Carl Foresters, that's a type of regrass. They still have some green in them.
They do, so I'm waiting on those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's things out there, you know, and then just a reminder, you know, after Christmas, because we won't talk till the new year, you know, save a round of those Christmas lights. If you got a set of Christmas lights and you're taking all your lights down and you store them and you throw them in the attic, I'm going to say it in January. I'm probably going to say it in February. Keep a little strand or two of those Christmas lights handy. So in the spring, in January and February, or really more February, March, if everything's leafing out, you know, Japanese maples are starting to leaf out, you can go ahead and put the Christmas lights in there and then throw your sheet on top. It'll help. So just plan ahead. You're laughing at me, but you know it's true.
I am. I'm not going through those extremes.
I know. But there are people and who like to save, you know, or protect their plants, you know. And if you don't think about it now, those lights are going to be stored, put away in a box or in the attic or in the garage.
Or they could be like you and leave them on year round.
Well, see, then I don't have to worry about it. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
That's a Kentucky thing right there.
No, it's not. It's the fact that the blue spruce has outgrown them and they're all tangled and I can't get them off.
They've worked again
this year. That's year five.
But you're right. You know, okay, that's a way to protect your plants from the colder temperatures.
I was just thinking ahead.
What about some other ways? I mean, you know, when I talk to people about, let's just say that you have some hydrangeas that are really not giving you some bloom production that are capable of doing so. A lot of times, you know, some of the newer hydrangeas, they'll bloom on old wood, meaning last year's growth, what we just experienced this year in 2018, and next year's new growth. What's your flair? What's your take on protecting them with maybe putting a fence around them and maybe some light straw
or leaves or
a barrier with burlap?
If you have something that's temperamental, yes. But, you know, the new varieties are so hardy. I don't worry too much about that, but if you have an area that's high wind, you may have to create like a little windbreak, and that would be a burlap or something like
that. That's where I think that those windbreaks are most beneficial.
Like a burlap would be great. It's 3 feet. You can get them at, you know, I think you can get burlap just about anywhere because people craft with it so much.
Right. You know, this is that what we talked about last week. We had the tip where the one caller said that she likes to take her gardening tags and so forth and takes a hole punch, punches a hole in it, and puts it on her key ring.
And then she can go to wherever that is and find out what plant she has.
Exactly. Because a lot of times when I talk to gardeners often, it's like, do you know the type of hydrangea you have? No, I'm not really sure.
Well, and like with oak leaves, there's a lot of varieties.
Right.
You know, if we see the bloom or we can see all the characteristics, we can identify it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, but how many of the, you know, strawberry sundae, bobo, you know, how many of those start to look very similar? You know, especially when you're just looking at a photo on a phone.
And it's hard to tell some of those apart. You know, it really is. And, you know, we were talking about hydrangeas last week. And during the break, we were talking how we come out with all these new varieties. But what happens to some of those true tried and tested varieties that all of a sudden you don't see them in production like you used to?
We're going to have to put that on our 2019 list. Can you believe this is it? This is the last show of the year?
2019 is right around the corner. It will fly by.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
You know, and you know, I personally just want to say thanks to all the listeners who've been supporting me because I just come in and fill in with you guys. And, you know, I'm just thankful for all those that come and talk to me and they're, you know, they just give me good feedback because, you know, I love to hear from the listeners. And I'm very grateful for B105 and everything that they allow me to do to come in and sit here. It's just, it's fun for me. I love it. This is just something I thoroughly enjoy. And, you know, I hope, you know, we get to do a lot more.
I agree with you, but you're forgetting one person.
What's that?
Your brother. His back's hurting. He carries you.
He does
gives you all the. He gives you all that.
You
support.
Know what?
You know, Doug.
My poor wife. She carries me. You know, my dad, my brother, my mom. Thank goodness for her. You know, I got so many people to be thankful for this holiday season that just make my life a lot easier, including you. You know, because I sit here and you and I just have a good old time doing this. You know,
I still didn't hear Doug's name in there, did I?
You heard Doug.
Okay.
Yeah, I put Doug in there.
All right.
Doug knows he's important. Without Doug Bard, our business would not run.
Well, everybody I talked to says, you know, Bard's came over and did this landscape installation. And I said, was Bob there? No, we didn't see Bob.
See,
Doug.
I have the face for radio.
Doug
has the face for the business. So, you know, they like to look at Doug and his curly blonde hair. They think that's good. He's good looking.
Oh, is that what it is?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like,
they all think he's my son. Can you believe that?
Really?
I get that all the time. It's terrible. They think dad is my brother and my mom is my wife. So, you know, there's so many funny things that happen that we could just talk all day long about stories, but... Yeah, Dougie does such a great job, and I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for all my employees at Bard's. They just work their tails off just to make my life easier. And you know, I couldn't get by without Cody in the office. He's awesome. And you got the same thing because I met some of your employees. Those guys and girls, they work their butts off, and they're just
we have
great
staff. We're very fortunate, and I can't argue that. That's for sure. And they've done a really wonderful job this holiday season.
Thank Alex, too, you know, for filling in and being here with us, man. You're awesome.
I want to touch on one thing since we're closing 2018 for the most part. We lost two wonderful people this year, and I just want to remember those two individuals, and that was George Robin from Robin's Florist and Garden Center and Earl Baton. You know, from Baton's Greenhouses down there in Union. So we lost two wonderful guys this year, and you know, it's heartbreaking. But those guys have contributed so much to our industry, and been thankful for those guys to be a part
of it. Without guys like that, you know, and like my grandpa, you know, we wouldn't be able to where we are today. And your dad's awesome. I love coming over and talking to your dad. He's just a wonderful man.
He's a hoot, and thank you for the compliment. Yes. All right, everyone have a wonderful Christmas holiday season and a happy new year. Be careful, and we'll talk to you in 2019.
You're listening to In and Around the House on B105 WUBE Cincinnati.